This week on RSVNB Update, Necromancy arrives, and we talk through our early experiences from getting started to nuking mobs to performing rituals and conjuring our friends. We discuss onboarding and how it is changing combat. This is RSVNB Update, episode 947, recorded Thursday, August 10th, 2023. Necromancy, Undead on Release. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of RSVNB Update. Yes, this is a special occasion. This is Necromancy Launch Week, hence the reason this is video RSVNB Update back at you again to discuss the unveiling of RuneScape's newest skill. Necromancy's been talked about since last year, and it's like Christmas. It felt like Christmas for me in that I did absolutely no preparation, and then I was late again on the shows. It's like, you know, buying gifts before the few days before Christmas. But anyways, folks joining us here this week, you know, our wonderful panel here, we have a Tannis with us.
A Tannis, huh? All right. Well, thank you, Shane. Yeah, I mean, a skill release is as big as it gets.
It is. And it's got a lot riding on this one, looking back and looking forward at it. So there's that. Sirion is also here.
Hello.
And Thaxi, who you guys know from the Micro Lessons and Action Bars. Welcome aboard to everybody.
Good to be back.
So we're gonna do our RSVNB Update as we normally do, but of course, just a reminder that this show would not be possible without our wonderful Patreon supporters at the Experience tier. Specifically this week, Andrew C., Drama Free, Jason S., Jesse W., Keski, Maniac RS, Ricky A., Rippeth, Seth W., and The Naked Captain. Thank you so much to all of you guys. And for folks wondering what all this is about, you can follow along in the show notes at update.show. You can find us in-game at Friends Chat Bits Bytes. We also have a community Discord, too, at rsbnb.com/Discord. I am Shane12088 in-game. Sirion is at Sirion. Tannis is at Tannis79. And Thaxi can be found at Thaxi. We're glad you got your account back for this episode, by the way, too.
Me too.
So, alrighty, folks. Necromancy. The biggest... Is this the biggest skill launch, or was that Archaeology?
I think archaeology. I would say archaeology was bigger, but it depends how you defined a launch. There's a lot of.
I mean, this
extra.
No, I'd say archaeology, because archaeology launched with all of the mysteries, all of the like. There was a lot of like. I was gonna say no. This has all the story component. Arc probably went. Arc loves, still love arc. Don't get me wrong. Great skill. This one, I mean, still, this is, they did something that feels kind of on par scope-wise, to some degree, where we've got big new environment, to some degree, we've got big new, you know,
mechanics,
systems in place.
Yeah, systems, mechanics, and environments, quests, everything to that effect. So, and we'll get into what that might mean for skill and whatnot, but I know where you want to go on that, Tannis, so go ahead, then we'll get into the meat of the matter.
I just wanted to say, like, if we look at just as a skill, it's probably comparable, but what we're not used to is some of the elements that they pulled into necromancy as parts of a skill now that have never traditionally been associated with skill. That process started with archaeology, and now we kind of see this progression when it comes to necromancy. So I'm starting to see this like dichotomy between what a traditional skill may have been and maybe where they're going with, you know, towards the future.
And we'll see if we could put a needle through that thread at the very end here. Sirion, anything from you before we begin in general?
I mean, like scope wise, you can't really compare it, right? Like archaeology was super heavy on the environments. If you think about it, like five completely new environments. So yeah, most of them actually with like multiple actual environments. Yeah. Like you can't compare that. Like is big, but like in size, maybe slightly larger than Karadet, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Necromancer's carried out at most.
And the Necromancer's fortress is not huge either.
Yeah.
Exactly. They did some other environment work too. I think we're going to talk about it, but the Necromancer's tower, if you haven't been there yet, looks gorgeous.
Yeah. And the interesting part about all this is we're all going to archaeology because we know what a launch archaeology was, and necromancy was inevitably going to be compared to that. So,
yeah.
On that,
here we are.
We're going to begin this episode by talking about what we've been doing with it, with necromancy thus far. And Tanis, I'll go to you first. Where are you at? What have you been training? What's been your general experience so far?
I went into it just real organically. I've talked to my friends a little bit, but I pretty much have just experienced it, you know, myself.
Yeah.
And I'm probably, 71, 72. Easily probably could be 99 if I had just one track.
If you'd just done combat rather than, you know, getting distracted with armor upgrades and rituals and whatnot, right?
Well, yeah, here and there. And that kind of goes to the complexity of the skill to where you kind of can't just do one thing. I mean, you could, but to do it in the best way, you're kind of, you know, get off this bypass and get onto this route, and, you know, vice versa. Old clover leaf, basically. But so I've done a little bit of rituals. I've done some combat. I've done a couple of the quests, you know, at least the ones to get started with the equipment and stuff. It's so new that it's really hard for me to kind of make determinations about it or anything right now because I'm so just into the, you know, the 99, 120, you know, training part of it.
Yeah.
And there's just so much that came with it. You know, you have the quest, you have the skilling, you have the traditional combat. And we haven't even talked about, you know, the souls and stuff. Like, I think I'm going to like it, right? Because I've been doing my training in my player own dungeon. I think that's kind of been the whole thing, right? They're calling it something hermit and rituals, ritual hermits, you know. But it seems to be working pretty well for me, especially once I got that ghost and I had like another way to heal. Like, I'm like, okay, all right. This is kind of what I was hoping it was going to be like. And that's me, someone that doesn't know shit about RS combat.
All right. Fair enough. Sirion, what level are you at, and what have you been doing with it?
I'm at level 47, so I'm not actually very deep in the fun of having a full-time job. Yay! So I've been trying to squeeze out as much necromancy as possible, knowing, you know, I have this sort of sixth sense that I can't look at games the same way anymore ever since I sort of worked on my own and I sort of get how game development works. So whenever I go into a skill like this, I immediately start picking up on certain things. And to be honest, it took me a while to warm up to the skill at all. I'm starting to see mostly where they wanted to go, I feel. And I think there's definitely really strong aspects to the skill. They do what I expected. They don't go beyond what I expected. And that's sort of, maybe my expectations were too high. Of course, they had amazing track record with the one skill, previous skill. Let's not talk about the skill that came before archaeology. Was it even a skill?
which
different
match?
Times, right? Different times. Back when elite skills were, yeah. But like overall, doing some rituals. I've been trying to force myself into going out of my comfort zone and trying out the different parts of the skill.
Good.
So doing combat, me doing combat is like, and I think, you know, the skill doesn't sell in the first 20 levels, which is interesting because that's kind of the free trial you get as free to play. And you definitely need to get pretty far on in the skill, I think, before it starts being fun and interesting. Like, I think for me, sort of the moment where there was at least, you know, some positive, well, some positivity sounds so negative. That's not what I mean. But when I started sort of seeing like, oh wait, maybe like there, I could have fun with this, was when I started using the channel ability that just started hitting everything around me. Like I was in the Lumbridge catacombs and the entire room just started being hit. I was like, wait a second. That's sort of so especially on the combat front, I can see it. I hope that over time we'll see some quality of life fixes on the more ritual aspects. I think we'll talk about it in a moment, but I think on the combat side, they did what they promised. I kind of hope they would have gone further. I think that was my expectations. I thought, you know, this is a new combat style. It's going to be different from like level one, like throw everything out of the water.
It is. To be fair.
No, not from level one, because you get the basic ability.
We get rituals, but like, I hear what you're saying though.
We'll get into the abilities and whatnot and how that all lands.
You're
after.
Pulled in a lot of directions at early levels, and that can be challenging for sure. To know what you're doing.
But right. I think. Oh yeah. I mean, I'm not very into normal. I'm not into magic or ranged or melee, right? Which makes it hard for me to compare. So I knew going into this that I wasn't gonna feel whether it was different.
You aren't going to feel it in your bones.
In your bones!
Okay, bye.
No, all right. The undead puns will continue.
All right, Thaxi, what have you been up to? What level have you got to?
I am up to 77 now.
Okay.
At time of recording. Yes. And I have done everything up to this point that is available to me, with very limited exceptions. I haven't unlocked the tank armor yet. I'm working on that task list as we speak, more or less. But aside from that, I've done all of the quests up through Tomes of the Warlock. I've done all of the killy tasks up through getting tier 70 power armor. I've got my tier 70 power armor, my tier 70 weapons. I've got my Zook cape. I've done the quests and the tasks that are available up to this point. And I've Iron Man'd pretty much all of it. So the only things I've bought are bones and ashes, because reasons we don't have to talk about, I didn't have them. I had a stack of like 5,000 ashes and they're not in my bank anymore.
Amazing they took those too.
Everything that was tradable and anything that was augmented is gone, and a couple of other rare things. But regardless, so I bought myself like 600 ashes and a few hundred bones. And otherwise, I've made all my own ink. I've made all my own runes for using incantations and stuff, which is an interesting system that definitely has room for growth. My experience with the skill has been really kind of diving into. I've done all the post-quest content. I've done all of the achievements that I have access to. I've talked to all the residents of as they've come in.
Task set, that's interesting. We'll talk about that after too.
The task, well, test set, and then there's some fun achievements as well in this city, like taking boat tours and hunting down people.
Is there an easy way to sort of check like which people we haven't spoken to yet? That would be nice.
There is. Okay. In the achievements for it tab, there is a list of all the people.
Oh, great.
And it has each, the achievement for it is a drop down that shows them all.
Nice.
Is there any like tangible reward with that?
You get souls.
Anything.
You get a boatload of souls. Literally.
As in they come in on the water there, and that you can see them.
There's several of them on the water. Yes, that's true. I am literally speaking.
I also have to say.
I've got a few hundred from probably.
Sorry for taking us off track this soon here, but you know, the puns in the examine info too are wonderful.
Always
in the skill. In particular, you examine the gondolas. Their examine info is going once, going twice, gondola. That's going to be my new thing, I think.
Oh, God.
No.
Oh, God.
Just a lead into every show. It's not one, two, three. It's
Yeah, that's right. For people who've listened to pre-show before, it's not in gondola. 3, 2, 1. It's on 3, 2, 1, gondola.
Gondola.
Oh, God.
Anyways, sorry for interrupting you, Thaxi. Anything else, or should I go?
No, I've done about 800 rituals, I think, at this point, to make all my ink and do all my communions. And I've killed 70 of Hermod, the boss. I got very, very unlucky with getting the upgrade component for my power armor. So
okay, all right. Fair enough. As for me, made it to level 60. And unfortunately, yesterday was all show prep and tech prep, as you guys can see. But I basically did ghost trolls to 15. After that, I just sat at the ritual place. I did rituals for 400 souls to level 40. And that also included all my weapon and armor upgrades to 50. And after that, it was Lumbridge Catacombs, specifically the Scoblins. Sirion, where did you go in the catacombs? You mentioned you used the catacombs.
I did use the Scoblins because the skeletons, like, there's one achievement to kill a skeleton, I think,
with a skeleton.
Necromancy.
But you guys
so
I was
like, let me be nice and find an empty world. And I hoped, like, 50 worlds. I was like, screw it. They're not going to miss one skeleton.
It's
I'm
done
just
going to
kill it now and
be
out of
that one.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, I did the Scorpions.
Okay, yeah, I did those to 50, and then I had Shadow Warriors as well, a combination of the player and Slayer dungeon. And I just had to go back to the Legends Guild for old time's sake, because, I mean, it's training like it's 2004, so why not with that? And, you know, that is how we did combat training back in the day, folks. Yeah. You went to a certain area based on your level band and just trained there. There was none of this thing called this certain skill Slayer.
If you didn't do Slayer.
No, this was before Slayer. This was before Slayer.
2004? When did Slayer come out?
05. January 05.
All right. Back in the day.
Yeah.
I've done Slayer tests.
So we've all been immersing ourselves in having fun with necromancy, I think. So even Sirion has come around to it, which is wonderful. But I want to talk a bit about the tutorial and the onboarding first, because we're kind of back to that same thing where we're doing quests for onboarding with this, aren't we?
Yeah, I thought when they killed Wolf Whistle and Druidic Ritual, we were going to be done with that.
Hey,
it's interesting,
hey,
because in old school,
don't forget
Rune
Mysteries.
Was it the Heart Blocker for that quest?
Yes, it was.
You can't gain XP in the skill with it. Even in old school to this day, you can't gain XP.
Old school you can, I think. Rune Mysteries is a soft one, but Druidic Ritual and Wolf Whistles are hard.
You can't craft runes. I believe you can make tiaras.
Okay. It's weird anyway. Mm-hmm. But they even added like new quests for like construction and Slayer in old school as well.
And that's the thing. We're back to this now. This is pretty much you're pretty much locked into that, and I'm going to be a little bit contrary based on what we said in the past. I actually think this is okay because they introduced the lore of the skill with this, specifically how we're doing this consensually, as they said.
Is it bad for a quest to have some lore baked in that you can spacebar through? I think that's important to note, and a quest point attached to it. Is it bad for a tutorial to have that?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I don't think it is. I think the introductory quest was okay. It feels a little bit weird that the rest of the game doesn't do.
You get killed by a sword.
okay. I think that surprises me a little bit is the quests that come later on that introduce the incantations and
Runecrafting and
those. Of course, we've had quests before that introduce sometimes significant parts of the new skills. Like think about the spell books and the prayer books, for example. Like those are almost mandatory if you want to make full use of the skills. But they just expand and exist. They don't introduce whole new mechanics. Like I'm almost thinking, imagine if sifting soil was locked behind a quest, right?
Like a mini quest.
But it's not a quest.
Yeah, you don't get the quest points for it.
But also, you do everything once, right? And then you have the entire skill. Like you unlock research later, but
it gives you the full rundown of the full skill or core skill.
Exactly. And necromancy is way more complicated, so I understand they want to sort of stack it.
You don't actually I don't know about that, because you don't get access to like research and things until later.
No, you don't get research.
And to be fair, that was a mystery in archaeology. It was a mystery to unlock the research team.
Yeah, but you sort of get it as part of your the first level. What are they called again? Qualifications?
Level 20. It's the first level 20. Yeah,
it's the first qualification, the first rank you get in the guild.
I want to bring this back to necromancy because I'm trying to figure out, does this work? Like, I feel like it worked, but
I'm not angry about it.
But it feels like it could have been more tutorial than quest.
It's a little bit funny because you can use some, like you said, the modifier glyphs, for example. You can't, you never really get onboarded until you do the quest, but you can start using them.
Well, those are alteration glyphs never get onboarded. It's the only thing in the skill that has no explanation that it exists.
It's one line in a quest.
And you have to see the drop down menu and the ritual. That's the only thing that like they really didn't tell us about.
Well, there's one line
everything
in
else, I think, is pretty well.
So.
I mean, there is one of the stories. So, to me, the quests so far, I only have two that I haven't done, are very much split lore and tutorial. Yeah. And there are, I would say, I'd have to check how many quests we've done so far, but I would say that, like, the necromancy quest is a little bit of both, like, the first intro one that's, like, short, brings you into the skill. There's a little bit of both in there. And then there's, but, like, I would argue, it's about half and half. Like all of, like the one to unlock Hermod, absolutely just a tutorial. It's a, hey, here's the boss, have fun. Like there's a little like fetch section at the beginning, but like really it's just here's the boss, have fun. But like Tomes of the Warlock Festival of the Harbinger are like real quests.
I still feel like we're bouncing back and forth here. Does it work or does it not? Or should they have gone full tutorial?
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. I think it would be nice if it had been tied more into the skill. Like it basically says, hey, go back to the Well of Souls because you have unlocked another tier and then tie like the incantations to it or something like that. Like they make it feel a little bit more integrated with the skill. Like I was doing a bunch of commune rituals, I think, and every time I leveled up, it was like, hey, this quest is available to you. You should really do it. I'm like, get out of my way. I just want to do my thing. And it felt weird that it is like a quest, but I mean, it doesn't not work.
Okay, fair enough. I want to talk about the combat angle of this because you're introduced to the rituals, you're introduced to the to the talent tree, you're introduced to the talent point system, and then you're told how to, in effect, use a necromancy ability to conjure the first skeleton, and then you have your basic attack. And then after this, they say, hey, you want to, you know, go practice your necromancy a bit? Maybe go kill some trolls in this cave. And I feel something we'll come back to at the tail ends of the show, is that necromancy is built to be a new combat skill that's easy to learn and pleasurable to master. So with that being said, I'm wondering, should this tutorial have done more for teaching you how to use the combat system beyond basic attacks and conjuring a skeleton? Because what I'm thinking of is if somebody comes in here who hasn't played since EOC, are they going to have a good time with necromancy if they don't know how abilities work? Because abilities and whatnot aren't explained in here at all. So what I'm getting is should there have been a greater emphasis on also providing a combat tutorial about abilities?
You get that on Tutorial Island, though.
Yeah.
For new players.
I have a take on this. When I first was, like, I really liked in the blog post how they were talking about the Finger of Death and how that interacts with the thing that gives you necrosis stacks. I don't know these ability names yet. I like that because that's an interesting interaction between two skills. And I was just sitting there and I was like, in the game, it never gets explained. You're sort of up to figure out.
That's the connection that I was missing too.
Yeah, like that connection is never made.
Like I figured it out, but I'm just saying that's the connection that didn't get made.
Why doesn't the game tell me? But I've been thinking about it a little bit more because being told things, you know, show, don't tell. And this brought me back to, I was in Lumbridge Catacombs. I know that's not like high efficiency, don't have to worry about it, I don't die there. But what I was really missing was feedback. I don't know what works well and what doesn't, because it's really hard
exactly
to get feedback on what combinations work well, right? That's... I guess I could go to a training dummy and put up rune metrics.
Right, but...
And
that's my thing. Is necromancy supposed to be something where you need to use our tried and true methods of benchmarking abilities, benchmarking an action bar to do well
do
with?
You need
or is it
that
supposed to...
At low levels,
okay.
Though.
Okay, yeah, that's a very good question. Do you need that at low levels?
I don't think you do. Like at low levels, one-shotting everything just feels good. Like, you know, and it doesn't matter what you do. It's all just you use what's fun. And then when you get to higher levels, you can like, okay, I can kill Hermod in 50 seconds if I do this. I can kill him in a minute and 15 if I do this. Like, that's when you get to iterate on things, is when you get like past, you know, into levels where things have significant health bars.
Mm-hmm. But like, I understand, and that's why I was trying to find some monsters that I could kill that had a little bit of high hit points, so I don't insta-kill them and I can experiment a little bit more. That ended badly, by the way. Let's not talk about that particular thing.
I died to a fire fiend, fire.
But like my
elemental in the Relic of Slayer cave, pyre fiend.
Yeah, yeah, the challenge is I'm trying to sort of build up muscle memory and understanding of how. Like, I kind of want to do low-stakes combat to learn how the things interact. Like, I don't want to wait until I get in front of a big monster that, if I mess up, is actually going to be dangerous. I kind of want to...
You'll end up dead.
Well, yeah, but I want to kind of avoid that. And that is sort of what I'm missing. And that's not a necromancy thing, by the way. That's a
combat system thing. That's a game-wide, yeah.
And that, I think, is what is really hampering me in onboarding necromancy the most. Like I said, I just hit buttons right now. Like, I can basically spam click Finger of Death because adrenaline, just that's the only thing I use adrenaline on.
Go ahead, Tanis.
That's going to change.
Oh, I was just going to say, I guess I'm doing it wrong because I just, new ability or whatever opens up, I put it on the bar. I was expecting Revolution not to work, but I mean, I put on my Revolution bar.
Well, we'll have a conversation about whether you should Revolution things.
There's a bug.
Well,
it doesn't always work.
maybe not, but as a layman, it's working just fine because my gauge is, can I go kill some shit, do like I would in Slayer, and stay alive? Right. Everything is working just fine for me in that regard. You know, and I'm setting my bar up just as I would any other bar with my ultimates ahead. You know what I mean? Like my
basics.
There's
a specific combination of summons based on unlocks right now that prevents you from activating abilities.
Okay,
so there is some jank that needs
to
get.
Well, then I've got
it.
Some.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, but just as like throwing shit on a bar, like I didn't have to understand it to make it work. Basically.
Right. All right. And to change the original point on tutorials before we get too far moved on, I would like to make a point of like the thing that I think was missed here with, again, I like the way that this was done. For me as a player, it worked really well. For the Spacebar Warriors, I think there's a lot that could have been missed. I would like to call us back to the Grand Exchange tutorial, which is like a throwback, but hear me out, right? There were two. It's the loud, bombastic man with the microphone that if you wanted to do your RPG, your MMORPG game, you could listen to this man scream at you and make you go buy stuff on the GE and come back and be ridiculous. Or you talk to the man with the briefcase who tells you what you need to know and you move right along with your life.
Yeah.
This game doesn't have a man with a briefcase. It has Ted. Ted is there to, like, if you miss something, Ted will just give you the information straight. But it doesn't, like, give you the option at the get-go of, like, do you want to talk to Ted or do you want to talk to Malignius Mortifer and
Right.
Death? Like, you get given Malignius Mortifer and Death, and then if you space for that and you screw up and you realize you don't know what you're doing, then you have to go talk to Ted.
Okay.
It's super interesting you point this out because I was just thinking about my Achilles tasks and how he talks about tier 30 armor. I'm like, how would an in-universe person know about levels, right? Like, that's a
the fourth wall does not need to belong here.
But now, like, my roleplay has been broken because now the characters all of a sudden know exactly what levels are. That to me, like, that's really weird.
Does it really matter that much? I don't know if it does.
I
want to go back to Tanis on this tutorial before we move on. Did you have any problems with the accessibility at all in the tutorial?
So, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, before this, I coming into this, I thought maybe because this skill is so big that maybe they, you know, they had to cut down on certain things, one of those being the onboarding or the tutorial. Now I'm kind of listening to you guys, I think that it is actually maybe more of a design choice of making that tutorial into a quest, which I think you lost some things because just little things like where the lines would be dotted and it would show you where to go.
Right.
In prior tutorials, big boxes lit up, you know, telling, and there was some of that in this, but I had a hard time figuring out where to go. The biggest accessibility hurdle I have ran into is that pesky thing. What is it? Other players.
Okay.
The particles are a problem. You are right.
Like, I'm going to put a dance floor up over the ritual site.
People that run over the ritual site with particles, they don't deserve to be in this underworld. There's a special hell for them.
Okie dokie. And on that
note, that's been the biggest hurdle.
All right. So before we move on to our next necromancy section, I want to thank our Patreon supporters because without you guys, what we do here just would not be possible. So this week, I'd like to thank Alfie S., Amos Reed, Andrew C., Arvids L., Chunk the Monk, Cycle RS, Dominic R., Drama Free, Duramax, Free Milk, Jacob G., Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Jeebus, Keski, Ling01, Maniac RS, Mohan V., Nate the Great, Pernasius, Renhawk, Ricky A., Rippeth, RS Nerdherd, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Seth W., Shirtpants, The Naked Captain, The Dabbing Goat, Tim, Tom V., Zant, and Ukulele Steve. Thank you. A big, huge thank you goes out to each and every one of you for allowing us to do what we do here. We couldn't do it without you. And we just published our most recent monthly bit on the year tier list, where we went through and rated each RuneScape year 2021 through 2022. It was a bit of an interesting one. I'm not going to spoil which ones were the S tier years. You guys are going to have to go and listen to that. So if you want access to that, all our other tier lists, and quite honestly, 60 other additional episodes of RSBNB Update, you can do that. Just head on over to patreon.com/RSBNB and sign up for as little as $1 a month. You get that entire back catalog and so much more, in addition to helping us run the podcast. It is truly appreciated. We also have a VIP tier for $3 a month where you get a special VIP rank on Discord, a chat channel, and access to high-quality stereo versions of the show in addition to everything else. And we also have our insider tier, where for $5 a month, you'll receive a shout out on the podcast each and every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show at the end of the year, including a Christmas card in December. And I can guarantee that there are some video outtakes from this week's episode. So Patreon supporters will gain access to that. Thaxi chuckling aside, it tells you exactly where we're going on that.
Thanks,
but of course, a big, big, huge thank you to everybody for allowing us to do what we do here. Patreon.com/RSBNB. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks.
Okay, and on that note, I want to move on to the rituals now, because I think with that, it's clear that we've been talking about the rituals a lot, and they're a major, major part of the skill, to the point where we've been hearing, and initially I thought that, you know, well, rituals to 40, that might be enough. But I've also talked to some people who are in the 90s and 99s, and they have said rituals to 70. So
I have done 8 Slayer tasks. In order to reaching level 35, I had done 1 Slayer task and then about 10 or 15 minutes of combat, and the rest was rituals. Since then, I'm, again, up to 76. I've done several hours of the new boss, about 8 Slayer tasks. And that's been my, like, I did some stuff where I was playing around with rotations on the dummy. I did some stuff where I was like just hitting random targets to like roll through rotations. Did a lot of the work on the lone boss, but so and much so, of like and there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
I think.
And that actually, in addition to the rituals, I feel like we can just kind of gloss over quickly the rituals, the fact that when we look at them, we have a number of types from communion to necroplasm to the ensoul materials, the ensoul essence rituals. And what these are is, in effect, your resource gathering aspect of the skill to allow you to unlock more essence. Abilities as you progress forward.
To me, the main problem with the rituals is that when you do the tutorial, it basically tells you just put this glyph there and this glyph there and like no questions asked. And it took me a while to sort of start getting a sense of how to best manage like glyphs and rituals and how they sort of relate together and how they reuse and deplete and all that. I feel the tutorial was a little bit too tutorialized almost. Like maybe they could have like asked you to figure out the glyphs yourself in the process. Like it's getting better now, but it definitely took me.
I mean, you're given a list and it tells you that you need, you know, for greater essence, you need two elemental and three change two, and then you just pop them on the ground and away you go. It doesn't matter the order. You throw down some candles and you make a chant and you know, somebody's listening to this podcast in an alternate universe and they'll think we're crazy.
Sure. Like, there are some ways, like, and I think Sirion will back me up on this, that the, like, there are things that they, like, if you were a new player who didn't, like, or you were coming from old school and you didn't know that the minigame interface was a thing that you could pop open, if you don't have the minigame interface up, you have no way to know what you need to put down for this ritual unless you go back to your focus again. Like, there's not... Like the laundry list of finding these things, not incredibly onboard well. They don't, again, unless you look at that drop down menu, like unless you think to click the bar at the top of the thing, you don't know about the alteration glyphs, which again, not a big deal until you hit like level 60 or so, to be honest. They're not really worth using for the most part before then. Yeah. But like, there is some stuff with the tools that like you could very easily not have any idea what the heck is going on with all of that.
Yeah.
I think the rituals is one of, because that's sort of the first thing you interact with, was one of the things that immediately sort of put me on edge with the skill, because the UX, it's just, it's not quite there, right? Like there's just tiny little things
give me an example, because I think actually rituals are one of the better design systems here.
So one of the things, for example, is that location where you choose to focus, you can't actually see how much of those ingredients are in your chest, right? So,
so you can't see the chest.
You
can't. Contents.
You can see the font color is slightly different if you have that element or not. But I, with my pretty good eyesight,
can barely see.
You didn't even know, right?
No,
yeah, they're white versus gray.
Where is
white versus gray?
On the pedestal, you right click the pedestal when you're selecting your ritual component. If you have that bone in your component's chest or on you, it'll show up as white. If you have it, if you don't, it'll be slightly grayed out.
It's like the color difference is so minimal. You don't see how many of them you have in your chest.
You have contrast. Like,
I'm looking at that right now, and I'm just noticing that.
That's like those tiny little things. So I'm like, does it really need to be such a new, like, I wish that interface would be a little bit better. Like, I would like to see what's actually in my chest a little bit more clearly. Also, the numbers would be great. Like, why do I have to run back and forth across the thing just to see?
Like, it should say, for example, like, one out of 257 arid bones that you might
have. It's like, I'm going to go back to archaeology because you have the material storage, but when you're in the MakeX interface, you can see exactly how often you can do that ritual. Like, that would be nice, for example, because durability is often in multiples of six. Do I have enough ingredients to do this ritual six times in my ritual chest? Like, that's the kind of things that it's a little bit clunky. I also ran into trouble where if you click on the glyph and then you click the MakeX interface, it closes the MakeX X interface. It doesn't show any progress bar. It shows an animation, but I'm like, I can move to the next glyph now. Nope, that canceled my action. Like, little things like that where...
And, you know, to be fair, I'd imagine those would get fixed with time. And
I hope so, yeah. But like, this like, for such a core thing that you do in the skill, like, hundreds of times, it feels like that could have given a little bit more attention to just smooth that over a little bit. Like, that... We'll come to polish later, I guess. But yeah, that, to me, didn't feel finished.
Okay, fair
enough. The level of polish I could expect from a quest puzzle. I have to do 1, 2, or maybe 3 times. Mm-hmm. And you know how much hate Elemental Workshop 3 gets for that one puzzle where you have to do one annoying mechanic once?
I love that puzzle.
And that sort of, it feels like an elevated quest puzzle in levels of UX.
Similar kind of idea, the ritual disturbances are like...
Yeah, I wanted to talk about
those. There's not a lot of notification when they show up. There's a sharp exhale noise if you've got sound effects on when the ghost spawns. There's a very noticeable sparkling noise if you've got your ambient sound effects on, which I had off because of pet noises, when the sparkle's there. But they only... Each of those things last for about 4 to 5 seconds. When the shambling horror shows up, there is no sound cue.
You know what they need to do with this? I wanted to point out that this was an issue in that, and I want to talk to Tanis about this too, because I have good eyesight and I wasn't able to pick up most of these things by the time they'd be gone. Well, they need to bring them in like they bring in the Saren spirits.
Have you seen it? And I'm sure they'll fix this. Like, this is such... It's an issue that everybody's complaining about, all of these things.
But people
the
are complaining horror, about it, that, okay.
It has a sparkle. It does... But it is inconsistent. I don't know if it's proximity triggered or if it's like based on the number of particles already present that it doesn't show up sometimes. But there is, when you click on it, there is a sparkle on the glyph it's going to, but it's very faint. It's not there all the time. Like, I have a screenshot of it. I know it's real. I'm not gaslighting myself with this. I swear to God.
And please don't gaslight the listeners.
But there is like some notifications for these things, but they need to be made way more clear. And the ritual site is a like
it's a high traffic area. Record.
I don't typically like instancing, but I'm like I'm and you I like it. It would be nice if there's a social aspect to doing rituals, right? Because you could it's fairly
after this
sociable.
Week, this place should calm down a little bit. Like you might see a couple of people here on Busy Worlds, but it's release week jitters.
Yeah,
and it's going to be like this for a month, you know?
Yeah. Okay, Tanis, how are
if
these?
If you haven't done it, go for it.
Yeah, Tanis, how are these for you? Because I know,
not good. I mean, I'm lucky, you know, at the end of the day, rituals are basically like a third of the skill, right? Like it's one separate kind of loop that you have to go through. But, like for me, the progress bar sets right over the top of, the pedestal. So it makes it real hard to right click and hit repair all. Usually when I do that, it usually picks up a player. And so that's a pain in the ass.
Can you move your progress bar or is your interface?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I'm not sure. And
you can, it is a movable UI element. You have to go into your edit mode. You can move that. Mine is to the top left of my screen.
Okay. Now the other thing though, do the soul like skulls go with it, because those are also right in the middle of my ritual site, okay? And then on top of that you have all of the traffic. You know, I kind of like, I think you guys think I'm joking about the whole like little mini game things. Never seen one. Like I don't really know what you're talking about.
No.
Like I've never
turn your ambient sound on. You should be able to find the sparkles, but they're 5 seconds long. They're fast. They really are. They're not friendly.
The sound for me, like the sounds fall into like the background music is also fairly ambient. So for me, it sort of filters away. Like, sound design wise, like the gong, like the bell when you're done, that's very obvious, but that's the only obvious sound effect.
Oh no, turn your ambient noise on. Those sparkles are aggressive. Same with the
I don't want the pet noises. I don't want the zombie override noises. That's why I turned mine off. The zombie walk noises. Oh my goodness.
Well, yeah, and like I said too, and they're people are spawning, like the whole dance floor thing, which covers up the rooms. Shane's like, "Hey, have you tried the accessibility mode?" I'm like, it wouldn't matter if I did because
they banned a lot of that. They hotfixed out so you can no longer use specific emotes, and like challenge gems can't be placed anymore. You can't light fires on the ritual site. They hotfixed a bunch of that stuff out a day or two ago.
Thank goodness. Yeah, so, the fires were a pain in the ass, although you got ashes at the end of it, so hey.
So, which you need. So what I'm going to say then is that the biggest issue then with the rituals is just the random events being too quick and hard to pick up on. Because, you know, we got people here with good eyes and good ears who have said that.
I get what they're doing here, right? Like, this is the attentive versus non-attentive gameplay, and they're trying to make a difference with that, but... I also find it so jarring when I click on a ghost, I run away. Like, I'm so used to things like Seren spirits and fire spirits. So just, you know, you click it.
And you have to run ahead.
Yeah, that's
now you run away, you interact. It makes me feel like, you know what? I'm just going to not bother, and I'm not going to feel... But that kind of makes it less viable training method, because the random events are actually
they're really good XP at the high end.
You get the memoirs out of it, which is really good for communing.
Doing my commune rituals with 180% soul attraction, they're almost 2/3 of my XP.
Yeah, exactly.
The random events, if I'm able to catch most of them.
So that for me, that definitely also needs, you know.
It's not good XP, mind. You should do combat if you want XP. This is not an XP training. Like, this is a side quest, but it's they're not. It's like chip XP. Yeah, it is, for sure.
But it's still an integral part of the skill at the end of the day. Yeah. So we talked about how it works with drawing them on the ground and getting the materials. I'm sure there'll be a wonderful calculator or spreadsheet to come out eventually on that. We talked about
probably already is, let's be honest.
Yeah, we talked about the question of the random events and the accessibility of the whole thing. And we did briefly mention that the alteration glyphs are only briefly in a line of text onboarded in one of the quests. And I think with that, I'm content to leave the rituals here, because you do the tutorial, they're your resource gaining method of ectoplasm and souls for the skill.
I'm wondering if and maybe when they put a bank chest there.
Yeah, that really needs to happen, because right now I have to use... So that's something that I'm sure we'll touch on that.
We'll get
getting
there.
Around, not
I
fun.
I want to talk about that. Quick note for the viewers. If you haven't yet, play around with skyboxes and filters at the ritual site. It is easier to see things for me, especially with the warm filter on. There are some skyboxes that can make things brighter. Try Eclipse and try the Menaphos desert ones. That would be my recommendation. Awesome. If you've not yet, those make things much more vibrant, so it's easier to see the ghosts when they spawn, because things aren't all blue.
The last one is
actually green. I would recommend, just give that a try. Things become purple and green if you turn on just the warm filter. That's what I currently use for my rituals.
This is what I was going to ask Tanis as well. Like, I find that the entire city is shades of purple, right? And maybe some blue. I have trouble getting around. Like, I feel the atmosphere fine, but it feels very monochrome. Like, that, like, contrast cannot be good here, right?
No, it just looks gray. It's just flat gray.
And the world map doesn't help either, because half the land is missing. The half the world map is missing.
At a time, depending on where you are.
It's just really far between places too. Like, there's no reason it has to be so far. Like, from the ritual site. Like, it's weaker.
That's the trend they started with Centistan, I feel like places just.
Tanis, I'm willing to bet that you have not done the task sets. Is that correct?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. So the task set, the task reward is a book. The book gives you infinite teleports to the smithy, which has a like 2 scores from the bank chest. Infinite.
Oh wow.
Yep.
Which is the closest teleport point to both a bank and to the runecrafting altars. It's the best way to do runecrafting. It also gives you 10 teleports a day to the ritual site. So in addition to the ritual site teleport being only 5 spirit runes, so you can get back and forth really quickly. I've never walked across the bridge since like day one.
Okay.
I always teleport between parts of the city. So the bank chest is like, you can get to and from the ritual site pretty snappily.
another thing that would be good to put in a tutorial or somewhere when you're going through.
You have to look at the rewards.
It's like, I know, but like, okay. Yeah. Well, all right.
There is a solution to this. They baked it in. It's just like, again,
I'm guessing since the easy books give 10 teleports to the smithy, and then I guess the medium ones give infinite teleports to the smithy, hard will probably get infinite teleports to the ritual.
There are no hard.
Not yet.
Not yet. But they will come.
But it's actually in the game cache. If you look at the wiki, they have the pictures of the tier 3 and tier 4 book reward.
So it's coming. It'll be rewards.
I am guessing that they ran out of time and they rephrased it as, we'll release it when people get a higher necromancer
level. Also remember that they have to give better rewards for those books, and I'm willing to bet they didn't want that kind of power creep. Like, I'm willing to, because the books are already a pretty nice, like, XP and, like, stuff.
Imagine getting a stipend of ashes each day from one of them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Several thousand.
That makes a little sense, actually.
Okay, so to cap off the rituals, I want to talk about what you mentioned, and I know what Sirion wanted to talk about this, the training of necromancy, and the fact with archaeology and folks, it always comes back to archaeology with this skill. Is there a core loop with this, or is it just combat and rituals? And Tanis, you mentioned, you posted an image where it's like three core loops. I see what one and two are, but I don't know what the third one is that you're imagining. What's the third one?
It's the equipment, right?
Like, oh, the equipment still upgrade, right. Okay.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, combat rituals
and you're trying to, it's almost like you're trying to keep these things in balance as you go, right? You got to do a little bit of all of them.
You got to do rituals, you got to do your tasks, you got to get some talent points from doing combat. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah, and they each have their own kind of loop, right? Like, they each have their things that they would do. When you think of archaeology, you know, you excavated, you restored. You screen soil, right? Like, and rinse and repeat. Well, this is kind of the same thing. If you look at the equipment, okay, you get the stuff that you need.
Well, they
you put it in sold. Now, after you insole it, now you have to go smith it. Right. And so, but every one of them's like that. Like, the ritual components, you do the same. Then, of course, combat.
You build these, and then you do this combat. Ritual, and then you. Combat is combat.
Yeah.
I mean, the equipment is maybe similar to what we did with the soil box, right? Which you upgraded sort of over time.
That's a good analogy.
I think that's a good analogy. And I think those kind of elements to a skill are incredibly powerful, because it means that if you get lost, you can always sort of go back to that. Right?
Let's not talk about the requirement to kill Ambassador and Nex, though, for the
last time. Shush.
If you need tier 90 power gear, you're like, make a friend.
Yeah, no, but like that, I agree. Like, the armor things are sort of good, and I think it's a good line. I think the rituals, I find it hard to identify a single game loop, right? Because you're sort of achieving different things with the rituals. You're both doing the communion rituals, and you're doing the resource rituals, which they're same but different.
I mean, if you're to Iron Man this out and make your own ink, you need to do the necroplasm rituals to get the components to add to the ashes to make the ink. And then after that, you can move in to the communion rituals to unlock the souls. So, and maybe that's a bit of that there, and then just have the ensoul materials and whatnot on the side.
Well, and that's the other fun part of this too, right? Because the equipment and the ritual side, those further break down into two circles between, like, the gathering and the production, right? So this is the first time, this is kind of the revolutionary part of the combat skill, was they also put the gathering and the manufacturing part
to unlock
into the single combat skill. So you have to do it all, whereas before that was all broken down into different skills, kind of determine different things. But you know, you could totally see, like, if they had their way, when people talk about, oh, this is how they would have done combat, you would have gotten, like, the melee skill, right? You would have been making your own
talk about
armor,
the combat differences.
Sirion, you said that to me, right?
Well,
that if they were to make the melee skill, they would have you would have had a similar thing like that?
Like what?
Like if you combine attack and whatnot, you need to make your armor? Or am I imagining that Tanis told me this and I was thinking you told me?
You're imagining that because I don't think I've talked about melee.
Okay, fair enough. Sorry about
I
that.
Mean, or what was the other? The rogue skill or whatever. Challenge,
like, right. Even if we break it down into sort of the ritual aspect and the combat aspect, I've never found that combat had a particularly strong game loop. Like, it's not something that
no,
I
you just kill things.
Find attracts me, like, sort of keeps me going, but fine. The especially early levels, the thing I ran into is because there's sort of two major aspects to the skill, I was almost continuously sort of asking myself, am I actually doing the right thing? Am I working on the right side of the skill right now? Like, we talked about this a little bit in pre-show about archaeology as well. Early on, you're like, am I at the right dig site? Should I really be doing the other thing? But that felt to me a little bit more like, I will get around to the other dig site later and I'm not losing out anything right now. Whereas with combat, I feel like I'm missing out on incrementally getting these abilities and getting to know them. If I do too
you're
many rituals,
yeah.
No, I'm going to go back and now I need to sort of catch up on everything I've done there. And if I do a bunch of combat, I need to catch up on rituals to make sure I have enough souls for all my talent points and all that stuff. So it feels, I don't want to say stressful, but it feels like a burden to have to balance these two. Because if it can go out of balance and then I need to back up and I'm sort of running behind at that point, right? Like if I do Yes.
Hear me out, because we've talked about this before. Like, this has been one of the things that we, you know, talk about all the time with RuneScape. The core gameplay loop of RuneScape, to me, to I think a lot of us, has been, I need to get this thing done.
Mm-hmm.
In order to do this more efficiently, I need to go do this other thing first.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, I should go do this other thing first, because I need to unlock this to get that. And you end up this string like 8 levels deep where you're like, I want to do this, but we're currently here, so let's do this because I'm going to have to do it eventually anyways. And this skill to me is like that on steroids. It is, I want to upgrade my gear, but I need to do the rituals to make the components first. But in order to do those, like, in order to do that, I need to do these, like, in order to access these incantations, I need to go do some combat and then I need to do more rituals to get souls. Like, it forces you to do that gameplay loop. It's no longer really optional. Like, if you want to optimize, your optimizing is like, I've got this huge list of things that I could be doing, and I'll tell you that by about level 70, that list is done. You've had the chance to, like, experience it all. You've caught up on tasks. You've, like, gotten a chance to use all of your abilities to gain several hundred thousand experience in combat.
Yeah.
You've gained, like, it adds onto itself in ways that make it very much like you catch up. But it does start off with this huge, like, I have so many things and my brain wants to be efficient to do them all right now.
It's not even the efficiency that, like, I don't have to be 100% efficient, but I feel that I can easily get myself in an unbalanced spot. To such a way that I'm level 70 necromancy, but I'm still running level 50 everything because I made the wrong decision and didn't do my rituals back then. And there's no easy way to solve that except for catching up.
But the thing is, when you hit levels in the 60s, you unlock the ability to, like, I'm gaining 36 souls every ritual I do in the background right now. Like,
yeah, that's better than my 4.
That's better than 4. That's the thing, is that you catch up.
It speeds up at 60.
There is catch up. There is a catch up mechanic to all of it, where you get to, like, if I wanted to make all of the, like, the ensouled materials to make a new set of armor, I need to make a second set of armor because the tank and power armor have separate achievements. I want both.
But the second time you do it is way faster, I guess.
The second time I do it, every time I do an ensoul material ritual, I'll get 2 or 3 components because the glyphs I unlocked at 66. Like
the enhanced multiply glyphs.
It gets the time required to go back and do those things later and catch up much lower.
How does that balance work the other way? Like, if you over-indexed on rituals, is there a way to sort of catch up on combat? I mean, I guess
combat's always going to be faster.
Better gear.
So the thing is, if you, like, there's very little reason to over-index on rituals, If you're like the reason you would do that is to get the gear upgrade. So it's like you can prep all the stuff for your tier 60 upgrades at level. Like,
oh, that's
30,
what I
right?
did, right? Like when right. I yeah, started I getting too. My level 20 equipment, went to the wiki. That's sort of yep. a tiny and bit like, of a downside. Like you have to almost go to the wiki to do this. Like I find that it would be nice.
I did the math myself. I have a Discord. Okay. I like in a Discord thing. I did my math. Like you could spreadsheet it. Like it's a choose your challenge. If you don't want to do that, the wiki is there for you.
No,
you know?
That's fair. And let's be honest. I used a massive spreadsheet for archaeology as well. So that's
God bless.
I can complain about that.
Yeah.
But that's
I have one of those. One of those in progress, but it's not suitable for human consumption yet.
I used a cow. Messy,
yeah. A what?
A cow.
Computer on wheels.
You can just. You put on your death card, doesn't matter, level 10, level 20, 30, you're ambitious,
you just
beat the shit out of cows all day, all night.
Very worth noting, combat-wise for this skill, like, I know we don't want to really go do too deep into, like, the overall combat changes. The way that they made accuracy work for the skill, if I'm hitting a target that I have 30% accuracy on, I'm getting 30% of the XP I would get if I was hitting something I had 100% accuracy, because I am killing it slower, I am doing less damage. They incentivize you to kill appropriately leveled monsters.
I like that.
And the fight kiln was atrocious, because let me tell you, doing the fight kiln with 40% of the damage you're supposed to have is not a fun experience. Don't do this, kids. Wait until you've got higher tier gear.
Okay.
Or do it with another style.
I want to close the loop, let's just say. So, Tanis, how are you?
Bye. For those who are only listening, Sirion has just had to
float away. The more on that next week, folks. More on that next week.
I think we need to introduce a free strike system. That was strike two, Shane.
Go on. What were you going to ask?
I was going to say, let's close the loop. Tanis, anything else on the core loop before we pass on here? Or move on? Sorry, we don't want to pass on at this point.
That would be a pun. Nice.
The only other thing I have to add is money. Yeah. Each core loop has its own money.
True. Ink.
And economy.
And ashes.
Let's talk about that.
It is all good right now. It is money.
Let's talk about that, too. We wanted to make a quick note on that, I think, right?
I didn't need to. Ashes are 13K each.
Bones are actually a reasonably priced because everybody overstocked on them. Thank you, everybody, for selling your extras. I appreciate you. But inks were super expensive and have now dropped to what I would call reasonable.
Don't forget to empty your mystic equipment stocks from both the Wizard Guild and the Champion Guild and Ozyak.
Yeah.
I've been doing that to make sure I...
You need 19 cloth to make a set of the tier 6
armor. That's
not
too bad.
Oh, it's then not. I'm done. I've That's 2 days of clearing the shops because that's...
It's not even days. It refreshes in under an hour. You just tell every time you teleport out of... Yeah, it's not daily.
Where is that?
I got all of mine.
So there's the Wizards Guild in Yanil has a rope shop, which has a full set of Mystic. Then the Champions Guild has all pieces except for the chess piece. And then Ozyak in Edgefield has the chess piece. Because Dragon Slayer people.
I went to Varrok quite a few times to buy spider silk pieces. Whenever I went to Varrok, I would just go to the Champions Guild. I would buy them out. I did that 4 or 5 times. I'm done. Like, it's... It restocks an undercover. I know that for sure.
Yeah. Spider silk in Varrok is really powerful as well. Yeah.
It's like 500 GP a piece. It's cheap.
How are we feeling at subjugation at the high end?
So
I am choosing that doesn't exist, so I don't worry about it yet. But I've heard that one set is enough, and I have a set for magic I will sacrifice.
So again, there are multiply glyphs. They don't introduce them, but they do exist. You need 19 in sold cloth plus several to do the Killy quest. It is what it is. I'm not going to spoil the details beyond that. You get at level 90, you get the tier 3 ritual area. You can create up to 3 or 4, whatever it is. It's you would need 5 pieces of gear plus 1 for the Killy task. At level 90, if you wanted to upgrade all your gear right then. When you hit 99, the cape perk reminder is an extra glyph slot. Adding one extra multiply glyph in Which, remember, also good note for everybody, you can use potions to boost for higher glyphs. So multiply 3 is level 103. You can access it at level 90.
I hope you stocked up on
at level 99. At level 99, you get access to the cape perk. The cape perk gives you an extra glyph slot. The glyph slot you can use for multiply, you get one extra cloth from each subjugation piece. So you only need 5 total subjugation pieces if you do it at level 99. If you do it earlier, you need an extra piece. So worth noting that sometimes it might just be worth...
And keep in mind for like, boosting and potions, your overloads work for that too.
They do. The you have to get 104 million XP. The difference between 90 and 99 is like 6. It might be worth just waiting until you hit 99 to get those last gear upgrades. You can spend one piece of subjugation to unlock the tier 90 weapons. Because, again, you need cloth for that upgrade. And then you just use the tier 90 weapon until you hit 99. And then you upgrade your armor from tier 70 to tier 90. That's what I'm planning on doing. Yeah. That, to me, is the logical, economical sense. But if you've got the extra money to burn, you want the extra subspecies, just do it at 90. But, okay. Yeah, multiply glyphs make this much better. I thought initially that you needed 23 pieces of subjugation per person. And that is not feasible. But it's not the case.
No, right. I'm planning something similar. I think I have like a set of subjugation I'm using for magic. Guess I need to upgrade my magic gear at some point then, but I'd rather spend the money on that than spend it on another set of subjugation right now.
Buy a set of the tier 80 God Wars 2 armor. Yeah, it's not terribly expensive, I don't think.
Exactly.
I don't remember which one it is. I think it's Saren, maybe.
But. All right. Sirion, I kind of transitioned into materials there. Did you have anything else on the core loop, or are we good on that?
No, I think we covered it. Like to me, it doesn't feel as clean as archaeology. Archaeology just gets me stuck in, and I like that's the thing that I haven't found yet with necromancy. Like archaeology, I can sit there for hours
and just grind
Like it's one of those skills that's just
that's me with rituals right now. And several hundred rituals in. I'm on autopilot. I can listen for the sound of the event spawning for the most part.
Yeah,
pay attention if I want to, or not pay attention at all and just get the rituals done. That's where I'm at with it.
Once I found the repair all option, which isn't obvious, so I went around repairing everything one by one for like the first 20 rituals.
Get your rituals.
I want to say how I found the repair.
The same thing, and then
I want to say how I found the repair all option. I had this person on World 66 who was saying, do not use the repair all option. It uses double materials. That's how I found it.
That person's wrong. There is a setting in game settings under Necromancy to repair only things that are fully degraded. I would make sure that you have that on.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'll repair things that are partially degraded.
Good. And to be fair, it's a good time to mention that as well. Then we'll move on into the talent tree and whatnot, and then get into the bit of a combat on here. There is an entire necromancy option section under settings, gameplay, necromancy, and in there all the toggles are there. You can add hit point bars to the ritual sites and so on and whatnot. And that's
it allows you to turn off your basic attacks, which is fun.
Yeah, I don't know why.
No other combat style.
You can put
that,
like hit bars over your glyphs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can put durability glyphs, and every time you use a durability on it, it'll show you the new durability on it. Yeah.
Yep. Oh my god, that should be the default.
It should be. It is a little UI clutter. It's a lot when you get a lot of glyphs.
There's a lot of checkboxes in there, and figuring them out is a little bit difficult, but it's all there.
I need to take a look at that. I need to take a
look. Most of those settings are just like, do you want this warning box to show up or not? Most of the settings. There's a few settings that are real.
But, yeah,
I think. I mean, my goal is probably to get to the point where I can use dragon bones because I have like a massive stack of dragon bones in my bank, and then just
level 60 Sirion,
level 60, and then just grind out communes.
You would need about 400 communes to get to where you need to be with just dragon bones.
That's not too bad. It's not too bad.
I'll see. I might have smaller bones around as well, but I'll see.
Yeah,
but,
you'd also need like 400 of each ink.
So the talent system is managed by the Well of Souls, and the souls are, of course, what we're harvesting when we do the commune rituals, and you also get talent points for every little bit of combat XP that you get when training necromancy, and with this, each tier in the talent tree also has a level requirement, and a soul requirement as well. So to unlock Tier 4 at level 60, that's 2,000 souls. Tier 5 is 70 and 4,500. Tier 6 is 80 and 8,500 souls. And Tier 7 at the very, very end is level 90 and 35,000 souls. And
also worth noting, Hermod unlocks at 3,000 souls, and Rasio, the TFN, unlocks at 30,000 souls. So okay. you do need additional random points. You do. You cannot get tier 70 armor or weapons without having 3,000 souls in your will.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing, level 60 to 70.
There you go.
And remember to boost, because level 66 is the next multiply glyph.
And the interesting part about this is that by the time you reach 120, you will unlock everything in the talent tree. I'm showcasing it right now on the video version. Yeah,
I mentioned this in pre-show. There are 18 available things. You unlock them all by getting 3.5 million combat experience. I've said it before in the show. You need 104 million. 3.5 is nothing.
That's a quarter of the way to 99. Right?
So you're saying then you can get the 3.5 million XP.
Yeah.
And just 35,000 souls and be done with it. So why'd they say it would take us until 120 then?
It won't.
Okay.
There are additional talent points to unlock. I believe there are plans in future quests and content to give us more abilities and more things to unlock on that tree.
Tier 7 is really quiet right now. It's just soul.
But I'd be surprised if there's not more in the lower tiers too. Right now I have enough, like, as soon as you get a talent point, feel free to spend it. Is basically what I'm saying. Is like, I have unlocked everything as I've done it. I have, again, done less than 10 Slayer tasks and like 70 kills of the new boss, and I have two extra talent points right now.
So this isn't a bottleneck at all. People were thinking this would be the bottleneck, but it's not.
You have to choose which one you want to unlock first. Yeah. Like, there have been a couple of times I'm like 1 point shy, but you definitely catch up. You definitely catch up. Like, the last tiers are unlocked at, you know, 8,500 souls at level 80. You're probably not going to have that. You're not going to have that many souls. Souls are really the bottleneck for unlocks.
And hence why we say
you have to do some combat.
People are thinking rituals to 70, probably. Okay.
Well, and again, like, maybe they slow down a little bit and you get this weird point between 70 and 90 where you don't have enough talent points for everything. But like, I'm willing to bet Tandis has enough talent points to unlock everything already.
Do you know where you're at immediately on that, Tandis?
He's got a million combat XP.
Yeah, you could probably give that a look while we're...
I think I got like 11 points.
18 is everything, so...
Okay. Yeah. And... Overall, how do we feel about the talent point system? I feel like looking at it from this perspective, it's pretty well done.
It's basically a did you do any combat?
Yeah.
Check. Like, it's a check for did you do something? Great. It's gold star.
It's nice because it makes sure that even if you do rituals to 99, please don't do rituals to 99, people. But if you do rituals to 99, there's still some progression to the combat, which is, that's unique, isn't it? Like, if you think about any other combat styles, like, if you get the level and you do the quests, you get everything.
That's actually, to be fair, that's starting to make this very interesting.
So much money if you only did rituals to 99, because you would run out of communion rituals, you'd run out of, like, ensoul rituals, and you would just be printing ectoplasm and essence. And
I'm sure there are people with accounts right now, like a million alts, doing exactly this.
that's what the archaeology alts are doing right now. Yes, absolutely. They're making each other.
They dusted all the material gathering. Yeah.
did your folks activate the fleet for this?
Oh, dude, you gotta call up the reserves, man. You pull out the spreadsheet. Every double XP, you get a new RAF recruit to add to the spreadsheet, and our numbers grow stronger every double XP. And yes, they have been called up.
Off the train, Mr. Krabs.
Yeah, everybody is making money.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on talents, or should we move on to the nitty-gritty of what people have been waiting for?
Let's talk combat, Shane.
Printed show notes.
What? Wow. Dead tree show notes? What's this?
Dead tree show notes? Oh, no! Wait, necromancer? Are we reviving the tree?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. So combat abilities, or combat is split between abilities and conjures, or minions, as people have been calling them. Where exactly do we want to go from here? Because I feel like initially we were a little bit concerned about how much damage we're going to be coming from the conjures, but as we know, once you unlock that conjure and you upgrade and you hit the next level and it upgrades to the command
version, busted.
Holy crap. I'll let you explain.
Yeah, we'll start with conjures. So, like, conjures are definitely the signature of this skill, right?
Yeah.
Up to level, I think it's 106, you unlock the ability to have 4 conjures. Currently, there are only 3 of them, so we know we're getting more. That is content yet to come. But with the 3 we currently have, like, the one you start off with at level 1 and your first 2 talent point unlocks, the skeleton and the command for the skeleton, like, that thing hits like an absolute truck. Like, it wrecks people. That, for me, that's first thing on my bar because the way the skeleton works, right? Skeleton does 1% extra damage every time it hits a target up to 25 hits. You will hit it target 25 times with it. The command for it makes it hit the target. The wording on the command is not great, to be honest with you. It says it hits 6 times. It also says it hits twice. What it actually means is it hits twice 6 times. You get 12 attacks in like 6 seconds when you summon this thing. It does like, this is the rapid fire or the asphyxiate to like draw comparisons of this combat style is the command for the skeleton. Also, it has no cost. It's not a threshold. You don't have to wait to hit it. You just hit that button and then it does damage, lots of damage. And if your target dies while you're in the middle of it, oh, you've got 6 seconds. You click another target, the skeleton sprints to another target and keeps hitting it. Still get your damage. It's great. I like this. This is a very good surprise because when we first got it, I'm like, oh, this thing hits like 33% ability damage every few seconds? That's awful. And it is. And then you hit the command and your target dies. It's great. I like it. The ghost is like replacement for soul split. So the thing, like first few levels for this, the highest damage boost you have is on regular prayers. You have the damage boost, and then you get the piety variant at 60. Those are your best damaging skills unless you're hitting a big target with leech prayers until you get to level 90, which is an interesting, like nice to go back to prayers for a little bit. But that also means you don't have soul split. The ghost summon heals you for 175% of the damage that its basic attacks deal. So you're getting every 3 seconds or so, you're getting like a 600 heal out of it. Like, it's chonky. It's also worth noting that all of these summons, they hit for small damage, but they hit a lot, which evades the healing cap that you have on things like the vampirism aura or the soul split ability, right? If you hit more than 2K, the extra damage doesn't heal you because you've hit the heal cap for a singular hit from soul split. These are all under that cap. So you get the full soul split healing. Like, soul split is effectively twice as effective on necromancy as it is on other styles. Except for those hits where you're really like nuking something with a finger of death or your special attack or something. Like, the summons are really powerful. And then the zombie, the zombie command is zombie go boom. Zombie go boom.
So
it just hits big numbers.
I know I've been given the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it again and look dumb for the sake of the viewers. On behalf of the viewers, please thank me, viewers. What's the difference between summoning familiars? Why is this not just summoning?
I mean, they're a little dumber. What did I tell you about this last time? I forget the context on this.
I think you...
like. You can summon multiple sense is of that, them. They hit really hard.
My sense is that the summoning familiars have special abilities. These do not. These are just purely for damage.
Well, they have the command, which is their special attack. Summoning familiars have one special attack.
These things are really, really impactful in a significant portion of your damage.
Whereas summoning familiars are more...
I mean, they're also kind of a significant portion of your damage, to be fair.
But there aren't any skilling like helpers right now. No, Necromancy.
Not yet.
Not yet. So
not yet.
That would be cool.
I mean, these don't last all that long. They're like cheap to summon. I don't know. Like the thing that is different for me about these is that they are about half your damage. Like it is. I mean, it's a really significant part of your damage, at least for me at this point. And that there are choices, and you need to make those choices kind of minute by minute. With a summoning familiar, you bring a summoning familiar, and like you have a Bob, you have a Ripper, you have, you know, your buffer, or you have your Titan, or whatever it is, right? I've been using a Blood Reaver because the Blood Reaver hit splats can damage the Necromancy only bosses because they're typeless. Right? But the thing with the summons is that, like, at my level, I get two of them. I always have the skeleton because, again, skeleton hit like truck, which gives me the choice. I either have the zombie, which is AoE explosion and AoE damage, or I have the ghost, which is healing. If I need healing, I summon the ghost. If I don't need healing, I summon the zombie, right? That's like I have some choice and I get to make that minute by minute throughout a fight, which like there's something to be said for, right? Like
we have to fight this giant mole
at one point.
This starts like it feels like a little bit like a class in different MMOs where you have like different pets and summons you can do. And like that, would you say that that's the core of necromancy? Like managing your conjures?
It's what makes necromancy most unique from other styles. We'll talk about like the other big difference for me is the adrenaline and the like resource usage with necromancy, which is also very different from other styles with just like it doesn't have thresholds as such. Mm-hmm. There's no, you have to be above, you must be this tall to ride. It's a, when you get the adrenaline, you can spend it. Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing too. But the conjures are the really unique part of the style is that I've got six things and like ranges identity was like, I'm going to hit you 40 times every 5 seconds or whatever. And
yeah.
Just mm-hmm. like all of these hit splats. This is now the combat style that has all the hit splats. You like the game does not, I don't even think it displays all of them to be fair.
So
like,
what,
when that
describing it that way, it, then it almost does feel like the conjures are necromancy's identity.
Yeah, in a large part, I would say they are.
Do you think the skill will get better if we go from the three conjures we have now to maybe like a dozen options in the future? Like, is there like where do you think the sweet spot will be?
I'm a little terrified of the level 106 unlock that says you can have four conjures active
mm-hmm.
because I'm imagining that I have a familiar or a like a legendary pet out. I've had my legendary pet out a lot to just pick up drops. And four conjures. And like, given the conjures, like, they last for like a minute or so. They're also like, okay, we'll talk about like neat mechanics in a second. But like, the conjures themselves are unique, right? In terms of like, they do each have a different role. You have different times of summoning them, but there's like, I can only imagine running around with a pack. And they're also kind of dumb. They do tend to get stuck behind things a little more often than I would like. Like, they don't mm-hmm. path around stuff super good. Like, they had amazing pathing on the ads in the Elite Dungeons. Where did that go? Because it's not here. If they're standing on the other side of a fence from something they can't attack, they will not walk around that fence. You cannot call them to you. You got to run away and hope they spawn next to you. Like, it's a little, that's like that. I think that's one of those things that's going to get patched a little bit. Is it going to make them a little more brain?
So conjures, you're figuring then probably about 50% of the damage then.
Hard to say at the higher levels, at the lower levels, like at 50, I would almost say 2/3 to 3/4. Like that skeleton does damage.
And see, this is the thing. I try having my skeleton out, but it's not my main priority because I don't really get the feedback where the damage is coming from. Like,
maybe the hit splats are different colors, right?
I think they're different color hit splats, but like, I can't sort of like in the moment adding it up in my head and seeing what's actually where it's coming from.
When you activate the skeleton and you get 12 hit splats on your target in 6 seconds, and your entire target, like, you can't see their model because they're all light blue hit splats.
Yeah,
mine died too quickly
because they're too low level, I guess. So they never get that many.
They last 45 seconds. Do you have to unlock the command? That is one of the talents.
I have that.
Yeah, I mean, I revo it. Like it is. Yeah. So skeleton for me is first on my bar for right now, at least. It automatically summons because the only cost is ectoplasm, and then it automatically activates the special every time it's on cooldown. And again, target is just covered in blue hit splats. That's all I got.
All right. Do you guys want to move on to the general combat abilities then, or is there any more questions from anybody about Conjurers?
I want to make a few notes about Conjurers for things that are definitely not made clear by anything because of just weird quirks of how our game's combat system works. Combat summons, if you have... So the skeleton is free. The next two summons you unlock, the other two that exist right now, cost 30 and 50 adrenaline each to summon. If you have more adrenaline than that, because remember, adrenaline doesn't drain anymore, God bless. If you have more adrenaline than that and you are out of combat, you do not currently have a target, you can summon the other things. Because you are out of combat, you don't have a target, they are free. All abilities that can be pre-buffed out of combat are free, have no cost. So defensives have no cost. Like if you activate, devotion. Devotion out of combat has no cost. It has 15% cost if you're in combat, but in out of combat it doesn't. So what that means is that out of combat you can pre-summon your ghost and then activate your ghost special ability. Total cost of 100 adrenaline, completely free. So if you're pre-buffing before you run into a boss fight, you summon your skeleton, you summon your ghost, you activate your ghost, the boss spawns right then. The ghost's ability is worth 70% adrenaline. It causes every time you hit the target to have an echo damage up to 33% of your ability damage. So you effectively just get like almost double damage when the ghost is active. Like the command on it also hits like truck. And once you've activated it, it stays active for the entire lifespan of the ghost. Every time the ghost attacks something for 4.2 seconds, that thing takes that extra damage. Ghost lasts for like 42 seconds with the passives or whatever. So that's all. Like, the entire Hermod fight for me has that effect active on the boss. So worth noting that, like, not explained anywhere, but if you go into fights with 100% adrenaline, you can precast all of your captures for free. Which does give you a significant boost in power.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Anything else from Sirion or Tanis on our little friends? Or should we call them the little friends?
Yes. They are the bestest boys.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
I'm hoping we get like some really specific conjures. Like, would it be amazing if we could conjure Muncher at some point?
Hey, Zanuck, how many times can I resurrect you?
Oh, wait, God.
Muncher would be amazing! Yes. I want Muncher or Bouncer, yes. the little hellhound bro that we've killed like 12 times.
What if you could capture the soul of your friends?
No.
And conjure your friends so I could have a little Sirion come and fight for me.
This is why
you still have those bones, don't you?
I do.
I forgot about that. That's a throwback. Jeez. Yeah, don't ritualize those. You could end up with a Sirion in your well of souls.
I want that.
Just shows up in just angry.
All right.
Just a pair of shorts just floating on by the bridge.
Alright. Alright.
So combat abilities. What do we do for this? Because at the start you can revolution everything.
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem like a greater idea as you get more abilities.
So if I'm you only have one right. ability that spends adrenaline until you hit your second conjure. And it's also worth noting that there is jank in the system right now that if you have a conjure on your bar and you do not have the command unlocked for it, nothing can activate after that point on your bar. It's glitched. So if you put a conjure in second place on your bar and you don't have, you're on Revo, nothing in slots 3 through whatever will activate.
That explains some under of the stuff any circumstances. I've been seeing then.
Yeah. Yes. You have to have the command ability unlocked to do it. And obviously, like if you've got the command for the zombie, and then you put it on your bar, you're going to summon it and then immediately kill it because the command kills the zombie. So that doesn't work. That just straight up, you cannot put the zombie on a Revo bar. It doesn't, like, if you want the AoE from the zombie, you have to manually summon it. The ghost, you can Revo, but it's a 70% adren cost. And the problem is, ghost is 70% adren cost, finger of death is 60% adren cost. You're probably going to finger of death, even if it's after the ghost, you're probably going to use it first because it will like the game will think, oh, I can't use this summon thing, so I'm gonna have to use this finger thing. So you never really like you won't consistently hit the summon for the ghost, and then the ghost is close to dead and it's not worth spending the adrenaline on it anymore. Like the summons screw with Revo. You can't really use the summons on Revo other than the skeleton right
now,
which is it is what it is. It's just not great.
So I want to ask the question that everybody's been asking with this, and we're going to go – there's going to be an entire combat special on optimizing the crap out of this later on once everything's unlocked and we know how it's going to be. But I want to know the question everybody's probably wondering in the audience. How do we optimize a bar at this point in time?
Right. So like you said, I think we'll come back – everything unlocks by level 76-ish. So at level 70, you get – the special attack on the weapons, which is really powerful. It has to be used carefully, but it's really powerful. At level 76, you get the ultimate. The ultimate is wild. Level 70, you also get the Zuck Cape, which makes Death Skulls like cost 40% less and do 50% more damage, which is dumb. They're also glitched right now. Be a little careful using those. I don't think it's bug abuse-ish, but they're not working as intended, and I'm not going to explain more than that on air. Because we just don't need to talk about it. They're not work. They're not. They're doing. They're doing extra nonsense.
I see. You've talked to your lawyer ahead of the show. Good. Good. Good.
I've read the terms and conditions of this game that we enjoy playing.
Yeah. He just doesn't want to have his account mysteriously disappear again.
Bum bum ba-dum. Regardless, people in game can explain this to you. Everybody kind of is aware of it. Deskel's not super. Like they're doing a little much right now. Regardless, the. Like, once you hit 76, you've unlocked pretty much everything. You can make your end game-ish rotations. That's where we're at right now. As we go on in time, that will probably change. But for right now, that's where we're at. Until you get to that point, right? Until you get to level 50, before you've got your secondary summons, it's a very simple, like, setup, right? You have one adrenaline spender, so you just stick it on your bar. The things that you need to manage for... like the combat style, right, are your soul stacks for your soul sap ability, which you unlock at level 54, and your necrosis stacks from the scythe when you unlock it, kind of, and the touch of death ability. So touch of death gives you 4. It replaces your basic attack effectively whenever it's up. The way that I would set up a revolution bar below level 50, so you don't have soul abilities yet, you don't have extra summons. Manual your summons if you have to. If you need the healing, you activate the blood. But for a Revo bar, you put Touch of Death on to build Necrosis stacks, then you put Finger of Death on to use the Necrosis stacks and Adrenaline, because it's the only use you have for either of those things right now. Then you put your other basic attacks on afterwards. When you unlock the Soul abilities, Soul Sap and either Volley of Souls or Soul Strike, you put those later on your bar. For me, I want to make sure that I never... right, like our previous action bar rules, right? You never want to sit at 100% adrenaline. You never want to sit at full resources because you're wasting the generation of it. Same thing with this. I would put Volley of Souls cannot fire at one soul. It requires 2+, so you're kind of protected from like losing it there. You will gain more adrenaline if you are spending less time casting other things. So if you've got a single target, you use Volley of Souls, you have better adrenaline gain. If you've got multi-target or if your target is stunnable. Currently, Hermod says he's stunnable, but it doesn't actually stun him, so don't let that confuse you. The Soul Strike is a stun and an AoE. If you need stun, if you need AoE, you put that on your bar, and you put it right before Soul Sap. Soul Sap goes off, and then your soul gets used. Done. If you have Volley of Souls, you put that right on your bar right before Soul Sap. Currently, Finger of Death does more damage than the soul abilities, so you put Touch of Death, then Finger of Death, then your Soul Spender, then your Soul Builder, then your Auto Attack. For me, before all of that is the Skeleton, because Skeleton does damage. So we do Skeleton, our 2 Necrosis abilities, our 2 Soul abilities, you have a bar that is functional. When you have the Adrenaline to do it, you summon a second summon. When you need healing, you activate the Blood Siphon. If you're on a larger target, you hit Bloat to give them some extra damage over time. That's your full rotation.
Wouldn't the Finger of Death always, like, that really aggressively consumes your adrenaline, right? Like, will you have enough to...
It is pretty aggressive.
It does use all of your adrenaline. The Ghost only costs 30. The Zombie costs 50.
Okay. Yeah. So you need to squeeze that in the middle. Yeah.
And we lower the cost of Finger of Death based on the number of Necrosis stacks.
I do have, personally, I have the auto attack on my bar, just as the last thing. It doesn't need to be there, because even if it wasn't there, it would still fire. But I have it there so I can have it keybound. And if I just need to build adrenaline to activate a summon, I can just Q, I can just hit my X button once a GCD. Every 1.8 seconds, anywhere in that window is fine. And the next ability will be the basic attack. I build adrenaline with that because I don't have to be complicated. You could, like, you only have three basics. And so you could manual your basics to build adrenaline when you need to. You can force manual, but with ability queuing. And then once you've got your zombie out, you've got your 50% adrenaline.
So you would use death skills at all then?
I have not been. And the primary reason for that is that it feels like overkill to me.
It feels bugged.
The cape, oh, it's also bugged. Whatever. The cape makes it cost 60% instead of 100. So now that I've gotten the cape, I'm going to be using it significantly more. And as a 1 minute cooldown, I'm going to try to use it on cooldown, right? Revo bars without Revo Plus, when you're not putting any adrenaline spenders on your bar, it's probably one of your top priority options. Things get a little muddy when you get – so we'll talk about adrenaline in a second. But like at the base bar, that's what I would recommend for people. Death Skulls is going to be overkill for anything you're killing at that level. It's just – it's going to one-shot everything with so much overkill damage.
But it's so
like,
much fun in the catacombs where it's just kill.
If you want to nuke stuff with it, by all means, like, don't let me stop you. Honestly, like, there's a very strong argument to be made for just having your bar unlocked and just trading it out. Take Finger of Death off your bar, put Death Skulls on, right? Just drag it one spot next to it, switch them out, and then when your Death Skulls fires, like, you just do this once a minute. You say, I want to use Death Skulls now. You just put it in that place. You're going to build adrenaline for it. You'll cast it, and then you put Finger of Death back. Yeah. Right? Like, there's nothing to stop you from doing that in combat.
Yeah, and Paxi, can you get me just a screenshot of a representation right now since we have the ability, and I assume you're in-game of the bar, if that would be
Let me go to Wars because really quick.
I just want to have a visual representation of this because I have a feeling based on what we just described here, we're operating with something that is going to be simpler in the long run, I think.
Yes, I am going to, we'll make some quick alterations. I'll put sacrifice in the last slot because heck, why not?
Anybody used any, while he's doing that, anybody used any incantations?
To get the achievement.
Okay.
I use the teleport a lot. That's officially an incantation.
Okay, that's true. That teleport is lovely. All right. I am going to screenshot this. Good note for anybody listening. The Soul Sap is in place right now. You replace that with Soul Barrage if you need multi-target. And then my summons and Death Skull and everything and Scythe are on manual keys. I'll send you the full bar, actually.
Yeah, wonderful.
Not just the Revo portion.
After this, we'll go to Adrenaline, then we'll talk about the incantations, and then just give a brief mention of the prayers as well, because I just want to give a brief mention of those before we start wrapping things up here. So
I've DM'd it to you, Shane. There's nothing in our recent DMs that can't be shown on there.
No, I'll just show
me freaking out about how much damage things do.
Yeah, so I got that, and I'll just throw that.
Lastly, before we move on from combat. Because I mentioned it, and this is separate from whatever bit or whatever else we want to do with it. But for folks that when you get to higher levels, 70 unlocks the Zook Cape, which obviously makes Death Skulls very viable. And 70 also unlocks the special attack. And 76 unlocks the ulti. The ulti, I need to spend more time looking at before I'm able to confidently tell you how to use it. It makes Finger of Death an actual nuke. Finger of Death with the ulti is so much more powerful than everything, including the special attack, that you kind of have to be a little careful not to bait yourself into like using your necrosis stacks.
This kind of finger?
Get out of here. It's worth noting that the necrosis stacks can be used with the special attack. With the special attack, they give you 40% ability damage. When you use them with Finger of Death, they give you the equivalent of 200%, like it's two-thirds of the cost reduction, which is 200% ability damage if you want to be direct with Finger of Death. Finger of Death will always be a better use of your necrosis stacks than the special. The special, if you build 12 necrosis stacks and then hit it, yes, it's going to hit cap. Guaranteed. It will just hit a 30k. Even at level 70. So it's a fun nuke, but it is definitely less damage than spending those necrosis stacks on Finger of Death. So use the special only when you have no necrosis stacks.
So living death is a little bit like it's the equivalent of like Berserk, and
it's the Sunshine equivalent. Yep.
Yeah.
It affects each thing slightly differently. It resets your Death Skull's cooldown and like reduces the cooldown of it to 12 seconds. It does a number of things. We're gonna talk about rotations with that later. For now, kind of ignoring that. Finger of Death inside and outside of that will always be worth your Necrosis decks. Use that. When you don't have any Necrosis decks, you've got 25% Adrenaline Despair, use the special attack on the things. That's it. That's the more advanced like rotation stuff at higher levels that I can tell you right now. We'll get back with more in the micro lesson on when to use Living Death and what the rotation should look like.
Wonderful. Incantations. Obviously, Lesser Bone Shield's one of the earlier ones. I chose to unlock Threads of Fate because it makes single target necromancy attacks also be cast up to 4 additional enemies within 4 tiles of the target. I wanted a bit of an AoE upgrade, so I went for that for one of my first unlocks.
Skeleton is like Throck.
Yeah.
Well, not Skeleton in this case. Finger of Death is like Throck.
And we were talking about this, about how Greater Bone Shield and Lesser Bone Shield would work. And the way it turns out is you just toggle it in the incantations list, and then after, whenever you activate a defensive, it just consumes those runes.
Mm-hmm.
And the usual caveats apply. The Lesser Bone Shield is 25% of your necromancy level. Greater Bone Shield is 50% of your necromancy level, so that caps out at a tier 60.
So for reference... that's the Mythril Kite Shield and Dragon Kite Shield, respectively.
Yeah, at 120.
At 120 necromancy. So,
so if you want that barricade, best to still keep your tier 90 Turtling Shield.
Right. So you can't put Turtling. I mean, you could put Turtling on a body piece, I guess. But you never want to use barricade basically through this because you're not going to get the duration on it. The only other abilities that scale with shield level are Resonance, which scales partially, and Debilitate, which scales partially. Debilitate doesn't require a shield, so I actually don't know if it will use this. I should have done testing, but I don't know. And Resonance, you get half the value at base, and then with a tier 60 shield, you'll get, what is it, like 2/3 of the extra, you'll get like 80% healing instead of like 90 that you'd get with a tier 90 shield, or 95 you get with a tier 90 shield. So you get a little bit smaller of a heal on Resonance, but you also, that's a lot of runes to spend on just a random Resonance. Yeah. I guess if you really need res, it does work, like for stuff like Art Glacier, where it's a mechanic that you have to use Resonance. The sun came out. Hello, Windows.
It's a wonderful option to kind of prevent you or give you the choice of not doing a shield swap if you wanted to, but obviously, if you know how to use your defensives and your shield swap, the shield's still going to be better.
I mean, the abilities require actually the offhand item, right? Not the main hand item. At least that's what it says on the wiki. Like,
you don't have to have any of
the conduit.
No, you can use bone shield without necromancy active. It's just a thing.
I mean,
you
but like the main necromancy abilities require the offhand item.
No, so the necromancy abilities require the main hand. The summons require the offhand. If you remove the offhand, all of your summons will immediately die.
Oh, okay. Then
I don't know.
Then
if,
the
I don't
wiki
know if
is weird, but okay. So you need to siphon for the main abilities.
Regular abilities require both. They might. The regular abilities might require both.
Yeah, which means that switching to a shield is actually. Like a
necromancy
shield,
never.
Not really.
Necromancy, never. Don't do it. It's not worth
it. Rip switch game, basically.
Yeah. I just want to go through the other four here. Life transfer, 50% life point damage to yourself, but extends the duration of each active spirit by 20.4 seconds.
I mentioned how good Soul Split was for this combat style, right? Half your life points, totally worth it.
Yeah, that's also why they made the changes.
They'll heal you up.
The changes, I'd imagine, to tank armor and whatnot. So
do soul split spat slat. Do soul split splats also apply on damage done to your conscious? Then
they do.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
this
that's,
skill
that's
is
why
broken.
It's overpowered. That's why it's overpowered because you have there's so many small hit splats that so you get full healing value out of them from soul split. Yeah. With that said, like again. You spend more health with it. You can't use a shield, so like you do need the extra. It is nice to have extra healing sustain.
So necromancy feels a little bit more like the glass cannon combat style. Then
it's very healing focused. You've got the really nice heals from the ghost light attacks or ghost basic attacks. You've got really nice heals from blood siphon if you've got multiple targets around you. right? So single target use ghost, multi target you would use blood siphon more. And then soul split heals for a little more than it does in other combat styles, generally. Yeah.
It's not so much about damage prevention, but it's more about recovery. Like, that's sort of the difference between, like, for example, like, what's the ability, the magic ability called again? That makes you super strong and tanky.
Animate dead,
right? Like I feel that a lot of the combat styles, at least in the defensive side, went in that direction, where basically you just tank the heck out of it. Necromancy seems like it has really made a different turn, where it's like, no, we're not going to prevent the damage. You're going to take all the damage, but there's really good ways of recovering from it.
I will also point out that they made necromancy tank armor, the tank armor up to tier 90, way better. So they made the damage reduction visible, which is one thing. But the health bonus on it is 50% of your total health at tier 90 versus the old stuff, which was I think 20%, give or take.
It's even now at my level 40 armor, it's already noticeable in my it's great.
Level 40 or 50 armor should have similar bonuses to tier 90 tank armor that currently exists. So it is an extra health point bonus for sure.
All right, three more incantations before we move on to the prayers briefly. Invoke death. Next necromancy ability applies death mark, where necromancy abilities will execute the mark for fatal damage if life points fall below 20%. That's at 80. Then we have darkness, which is 20% chance to dodge incoming attacks. That's a mechanic we'll have to talk about at some point in the future, I'd imagine. Split soul, which is 400% of the life points you would have gained from the soul split curse, are instead dealt to your target, which is, of course, like the ECB spec.
It is straight up the ECB spec, except you can only have a 33% uptime on it. The ECB spec can have 100% uptime.
There you go.
That's the difference. But soul split hits harder on this combat style. So split soul does a lot of damage. Like, I've seen clips from it. It's nice. Worth noting as well that it interfaces with the like the Blood Reaver is mini split soul. You heal based on things and it does damage back. So many damage hit splats going off, it's a lot of I'm getting ridiculous poison damage from the Blood Reaver.
I can only
because
imagine.
There's so many hit splats and so many heals coming in from soul split. It's the typeless damage. It's worth noting, people have been saying, oh, wow, Hermod has dodge. No, he doesn't. He doesn't have darkness. That's not a thing. What they're seeing is that he's like missing 20% of my attacks. No, that's your familiar hitting. Familiars can't hit him because they all use the traditional combat status. There's no necromancy familiars.
Right.
The exception to this is typeless damage. So things like the Blood Reaver, when you heal, the Blood Reaver hit splats will hit. Poison damage hits through it, but only typeless damage and necromancy will hit. So he doesn't have dodge, but like you can do a lot of damage with soul split, poison, blood reaver with this style.
All right. Prayers unlocked from Selene. Most of them are unlocked just whenever you go to talk to her at various necromancy levels. We were talking about the piety version at level 70 plus 8 levels when determining accuracy. It says 70 here on the wiki.
Nope, 70 prayer, but it's unlocked at 60 necromancy.
Okay, well that's an issue then.
Who is she? Like, where do we go?
She's the lady. She's the ghost who's living in the thing. But yes, that's unlocked at 60. 70 is when you unlock the soul leech. It's the leech curses from curses are unlocked at 70 necromancy.
It's the for Tanis. It's the house just above the cave where the trolls are. It's really near the entrance of the
next to like cave. The actual bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, there's not much to write home about here. They're just other variants of the prayers that we know and love from all the different prayer books and whatnot. So of course you'll probably want to use those as you're going to do your boss fights and whatnot. So.
It's worth noting too that some of the incantations look like they're unlocked at the tier 70. They actually unlock at 75. Four of them are behind the quest. The ones that are below split soul. There's four incantations in the two tiers below. They are unlocked by the quest. Tomes of the Warlock.
All right.
And there's something else with those incantations too. It was life transfer, greater shield.
Radio.
One of them had something. It's
so. One thing we talked about a lot, and we always talk about when it comes to Go ahead.
Deathmark. I wanted to mention on the incantations Deathmark. It's useless. Deathmark is applied for 6 seconds by the incantation. It is applied permanently by the armor.
Oh.
Every piece of power armor you're wearing has a 1% chance to apply it on every necromancy ability hit. So with 5 pieces, you get 5% chance for every necromancy ability hit on a target to permanently apply Deathmark to them. So the incantation is, I mean, you can guarantee that you apply it, but on a big health target where it's going to get use, where you're going to get use out of it, it's probably already applied. It's only useful in tank armor.
Fair enough.
Go on.
I want to at this point talk about Necromancy's identity in particular. This is something we talked about with our skill tier list in particular. Is a skill unique? Is it different from other skills? And what is our ultimate description of it at the end of the day? And I figure this is going to be best if we just do a roundtable discussion here on this. So I'm going to start with you, Tanis, on this one.
So for me, like, this is, its identity is putting everything that could go along with the combat style together. It's complete from kind of from top to bottom, makes it more of a, it broadens the definition of what we think of, with combat. You know, of course you've got the undead aspect of it or whatever, but I think the bigger picture is just the way that it broadens what we expect out of a combat skill.
All right, fair enough. Sirion?
I mean, I'm going to start with that. I want to ask a question to Faxi by the end of this roundtable before we move on in a little bit, because I know some of what he's going to answer and I want to challenge some of it.
Go on.
Maybe
we'll listen to the conversation for a second then.
For myself, like I said, I think if you're not too much into combat, I've been describing necromancy as purple magic, and it can feel a little bit like that. The conjures, like I said, it feels a little bit like
something. It's purple magic with little light blue friends.
It feels a little bit like the identity comes up once you start understanding the intricacies of some of the game, like the other parts of the combat system a little bit more. Only like, so for me, the identity isn't super strong in that sense, in that I don't want to say like it's because it's in the details, but in a sense, if you know the combat system very superficial and you're the kind of person who just copies the Revo bar from the PVME Discord, I don't know how much of a different feel you're going to get out of it. The rituals is something they really did something new with, I think. It is sort of like gathering and production, but like the mechanics around it, they tried something new there, and I appreciate that. So it does something. I like what they did and made necromancy not evil. I think they addressed that really well, and I think that the sort of the whole lore around it, that's pretty solid. When they announced it, like the first thing we said is that we wanted it to be about communicating with the dead and not necessarily, you know, the classical evil necromancer with all the skeletons. And I think they struck the right balance where it's definitely recognizable as conjuring undead. But
we've even also got Ickler in on our side that he's watching us and he's not immediately gonna shut us down.
Well, he's like, it's the lesser evil, so I won't know they if kept he's on his side, but he's condoning it.
Necromancy had the opportunity to go down a very dark path and take a very dark turn for a season of the game, and they found a way to do it to keep the RuneScape humor and levity and the like fun of playing the game built into what is a darker theme.
Yeah.
I think they did it very well.
Yeah.
Especially since we just said what a atrocity it is when Samur Rack did it for us again, when we have to save the world. But, you know, details.
Yeah, that's me.
What was the question you wanted to ask?
No, I want to ask Max the answer first, and then I'm going to challenge it.
Okay,
sure. So what's your state? Your initial state. Your point. Your question. Your point of order. What am I responding?
It has to do with the with some of the combat mechanics.
Hmm.
That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to spoil it. I want your answer first.
Okay, go for it, Taxi. You're up.
What am I talking about? Whoa.
Is necromancy unique and different from other skills? And how would you describe it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were talking about it when we were doing things. To me, the identity of the skill is like, I mean, you've got the rituals and other things, but as a combat style, when you are killing things, there are two aspects that are very different gameplay-wise from the other skills, and that is the summons doing damage for you that you're having to manage uptimes on a smaller, right? Because most of our uptimes are you have a 6-minute timer on your overloads, your Excaliburs, your like ritual shards, whatever, and you've got like seconds long cooldowns for most of your abilities. This gives you something in that intermediate range to play with that is a difference, that also you're tracking alternate damage sources. You have buddies, right? That's one. And then the other is the adrenaline costs. Like, you think about the ways that this skill spends adrenaline. You've got 20% for bloat that doesn't have it's not a threshold, that doesn't have a requirement. You've got 25% for the spec. You've got this variable up to 60 for Finger of Death, and then you've got like 30, 50, 60, 100 for the other adrenaline spenders. Those, like, you can list them all. I think that's everything. Right? Like, there's big numbers. It's not like the other styles where you've got, I'm going to fire off 5 thresholds in a row because that's how much adrenaline I'm going to have. It's, I need to think about the next thing that I need to spend adrenaline on. Is my ghost about to run out? Do I need to resummon it and reactivate it? Do I have death skulls up soon? Do I need to save adrenaline for death? Like, you are saving adrenaline to use those big moments on a regular basis, rather than saying, I'm going to build to 50 and then I'm going to fire some things and then I'm going to build to 100 and I'm going to fire one thing and I'm going to build
back.
And
you're not getting penalized.
Right? Instead of having that very set style that the other three styles all have, you have different adrenaline management and you have different like sources where your damage is coming from. You've got buddies. Those are the two things to me that set this style apart from everything else that we've gotten to this point.
All right. Sirion, did that answer your question or?
No, I'm going to challenge it.
Let's go.
So this is where things get spicy, guys.
Oh my goodness.
Spicy podcast.
we see that necromancy makes a few changes to combat in general. We see that in the tank armor, for example. With the option that Derek says if this gets received well, we might point
it
this
will get
combat
spread out to more things.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Conjurers, they will remain necromancy specific. They're gonna add
absolutely.
But I'm talking about the adrenaline. That sounds like, for me, it sounds like an improvement. I look at it, design-wise, it feels better than thresholds and ultimates, which are always kind of weird.
The thing that I skipped over is special attacks. Do that for other styles, but...
I guess my question would be, like, these adrenaline changes, I mean, should they be ported to other styles? And if they are, would that... Because do you think that should remain unique to necromancy?
It would kill the EOF. Currently, that exists in game. It's Switchscape and EOF. It would kill a lot of Switchscape, and it would like EOFs would have a lot less value because they've effectively already done this. These abilities exist for the other combat styles. They are cached as special attacks.
Mm-hmm.
A little unfortunately, that's how they effectively said necromancy is going to have 6 special attacks available on launch, and you're not going to have a specific gear on to use them. That's what they've done. That's what the summons are. They're giving you a new weapon and a new ability. To me, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to like compare it to the other styles and say it's just like what we've already got, it's special attacks.
Right.
The style doesn't have thresholds. It just has a lot of specials.
So wouldn't we want to kill Switchscape? I know this is...
I mean, I do. I would love to kill Switchscape. Personal opinion. I know that's unpopular, especially among our endgame friends. With that said, I mean, take it or leave it, it would kill thresholds. If you just said all these specials are all available, it would kill thresholds. The EOF the EOF is still best in slot stat-wise.
Mm.
But the way that the game currently functions, we would have to fix some other issues. If we wanted to function that like that change onto other combat. I think it's going to stay unique to necromancy because people like their rotations, and you'd have to significantly change melee magic and range rotations.
Oh, boo-hoo.
To make that a thing.
But like because they changed the adrenaline, then is that going to cause problems down the line? Because I can imagine if you have so many adrenaline consumers, because adrenaline gets consumed by a lot. There's only so many different ways you can do that, right?
The basic attack changes. Basic attacks for necromancy do a lot more damage as well. The average damage of a basic ability for most other combat styles is 60 to 80%. Some have 80 to 90, right? Melee's a little higher. On just like a basic rotation. With this, the average damage is 100. It has higher basic damage. In addition to that, so like you're building more adrenaline just through that because you're losing less by not having thresholds, right?
Yeah.
Your thresholds are now these slightly higher adrenaline costing things, and they hit slightly harder, right? Like we could compare to Dark Bow specs. These things hit harder than they do. It's nuts. Like with four necrosis decks, the special attack hits harder than a Dark Bow for half the cost. Like again, you're also spending necrosis decks to do that. So like you know,
yeah, it's
out of the research. But the like to get to your original point of like, like the thing that other combat shells all have is like you've got Hydrix bolts, you've got the Jaws of the Abyss, right? You've got the tsunami dumbness that is that what right. is it? It's Incite Fear, I believe, is the spell.
Yeah.
So like you build the other styles have massive adrenaline builders. We don't have one of those yet for necromancy. That's a reward space, Sirion.
Yeah.
So okay. If they keep giving us adrenaline spenders, they're going to also give us something that is an adrenaline builder that is like they need reward space and adrenaline build is it's easy, it's right there.
So I'm imagining
that's coming.
If I can summarize this, like what is the necromancy identity and distill it, like take away some of the more details here. It sounds to me like if you look at all the other combat styles, it's almost more of an equipment manager, right? Like there's a lot of like you're switching out equipment, you know.
Other styles you can. Necromancy, you can't touch your equipment.
No, exactly. So with necromancy, the focus is much more on resource management. And sure, all the other styles have adrenalines, but here you are actually managing.
You're planning your burst. You're planning when to use your souls. You're planning when to use your necrosis stacks. You're building them over time.
Exactly. So whereas in other styles, like, hit points and prayer and your inventory and swapping and all the stuff. It's still there, but like it's not the same kind of, I can't really find the right word for it, but it feels like necromancy, you're much more focused on managing resources ad hoc in the moment. And that makes it unique from all the other stuff. Like conjures are just resources in a sense.
They are. Adrenaline is just a resource. Necrosis sects are just a resource. Souls are just a resource.
And so if that's what we're going to land on then, and if that's what we're going to land on as the core identity of necromancy, and if that's able to make combat feel sufficiently different and get people into it better, and we need to wait on that, of course. We need to wait to see how that's going to
You could fully manual all this stuff. You could manual when you cast your souls. You can manual when you use... It's like two abilities. There's not a lot of ways to spend these things. It's not a huge... If you wanted to revo everything except Finger of Death so that you had control of when you spent your adrenaline, you could do it. If you wanted to do all that stuff except for like the soul spend, so you can soul barrage to get big burst damage when you want it, you could do that. It's not overly hard, like it is in other styles.
What might be interesting as well is that different circumstances might want you to extract different parts out of your revolution bar and doing them full manual because it's more beneficial to take control over them, which means that what we have now created, instead of a fairly binary thing between full manual and revolution, is a space where you can choose. It's almost like a gradient, right? They can choose how much you want to ultimate versus what you want to take out of it. And that sounds potentially interesting for me.
And that's not to say that you can't revolution it, right? Like they've made this thing that benefits you so heavily for using these things manually, for choosing when to spend your adrenaline, when to spend your souls, when to spend your necrosis. You have basically three resources at this point. But the bar that I just sent to Shane With like two tweaks, right? Switching out for Soul Barrage for Volley of Souls instead of the Soul Strike, and like I put my Ghost on for this. I can do Hermod. He has two mechanics. I only ever see one of them.
Yeah. No, but
at level 70. At level 70 with the level 70 gear. And like, that's it. Like, you can
that makes me suspicious they're going to change it if a new boss is going to be.
No, it's not. He's not a real boss.
He was designed to be killed with the level 60 stuff.
Okay.
Like, you can kill him fast. Like, you can do good damage with Revolution. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to manual this.
No,
they
but
made
like
it
the night,
so Revolution still works even with all this complicated nonsense.
Nice thing as well, because of this almost isolated resources, right? Like the Necrosis stacks and the souls, they're sort of separate thing. Sure, they both interact with Adrenaline, perhaps, maybe, but that's like if a separate point. Like, but you can sort of choose, okay, Necrosis is in my manual management, souls I let Revolution do, or the other way around. Whereas with all the other combat styles, you only have Adrenaline, so it's either all or nothing, or you do your thresholds. And, like, it feels like you have much more flexibility with Necromancy to choose how you want to do combat. And that is unique to all combat styles. That's what I'm hearing, at least.
Yeah, there are one or two solved rotations that you can use in all scenarios for their combat styles. Then they are not that different from each other. For Necromancy, you are going to have to change things if you want AoE. You're going to have to change things if you want like big damage hits and burst versus if you want sustained damage. There are choices that you make in terms of how you spend your adrenaline and like how you spend your stacks, right? Very simply, Necrosis is big nuke with special or cheap cost, like multiple nuke with Finger of Death, right? Souls are very clearly stun AoE, but more GCDs with soul bash, whatever it is, soul strike versus Volley of Souls is burst. Like it is, you are making a choice and they give you that choice with this and I like it.
Okay,
and the difference.
I think that's what I wanted to dig into as well.
Yeah, and you know, with that, this discussion has actually convinced me that to answer the identity question, Necromancy is unique enough and different enough. Granted, we are still dealing with the core of RuneScape combat when we get down to it at the basics of it. But
talk to me when we hit 120.
Yeah,
it changes.
We're starting to look at and see. We're going to have to wait to answer that question to see if it changes that much by the time we get there on that and see how we feel at 120. So we'll put a pin in that discussion. We already talked a bit about the economy and the integration in the wider ecosystem and whatnot. I feel like we got good ecosystems when it comes to the equipment, when it comes to the runes, when it comes to all of that. Anybody want to pull on anything there? Because I realize we are pushing it to our mark.
I'm a slightly sad that, for example, they came up with an entire new set of runes and an entire new, like, I understand, and they explain it actually in universe. I really appreciate, actually, they were like, oh yeah, it's different runes because runes are for anima and this is necrotic energy, which is not the same as anima. I'm like, okay,
so there's the explanation.
All four altars in the same place is nice. It's nice QOL, but yeah, they could have spread those out. We've got some patch notes of like, yo, those room pouch. There was a patch note on pouch changes that I didn't get. That thank God to Shane for passing on to me. I think that's a good segue.
Okay, I want to get to the patch notes quickly, but we just got two other little things before we get there. Polish wise. Not at the level archaeology was, but I don't think you could catch a lightning two in a row on that, but it's still...
Archaeology had some bugs. There's very little that isn't working as expected here.
That's true.
The summons can't be on your bar without commands. There's some like jank with the ritual disturbances for sure.
And Sirion has also laid out the UX stuff in terms
of... I think the UX, it needed more baking time. I think there's just little bits there, especially if you have to do
But it's nothing major that's preventing it from not being used.
No, I definitely hope and think that they will have quality of life, and they have the feedback rounds coming up. I mean, for me, the biggest problem is performance. I bought like a brand new gaming PC less than a month ago.
And don't walk across that bridge.
Just freezes.
Well, it's something happening with the NVIDIA drivers, because this Mac has AMD on it.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah. No, so, whenever I cross the bridge, or whenever I open the Wells of Source interface, it just freezes for a second. Like, it is bad.
Don't walk across the bridge.
That across the bridge is a good solution, but that's the kind of stuff I'm like that should really be nailed out.
Yeah,
like,
that'll
I'm
come.
Running an NVIDIA 4070, like, come on, that should really not struggle.
I think what's happening is it's loading and unloading everybody on the Ritual platform all at once, and I think that's causing problems, because the Ritual, like, they are technically separate boxes. They're separate instances. They're separate. What are we called? Bricks, blocks, RuneScape, like things. Separate areas.
Tiles. What's the
map
word?
Square. Map tiles. Thank you. Not squares. They're separate tiles. Squares. The Ritual site in the city, and so that, like, there's some jank there in terms of what it's loading in. I think that's part of it. There's too many people that are just having to unload all of from the Ritual site.
That could be very much it.
I mean, I don't know.
One of the things I noticed, little polish thing, is that the Spirit of Teleport isn't included in the relic that gives you free teleports. Makes me really sad.
It's not a magic spell.
It's not a magic spell, no.
You get them for free from the book, though. So.
Yeah. I think the quests themselves are pretty polished. Like I said, I don't know if I talked about this on the show, but like the... spoilers for like the one of the quests, but one
Don't
of the rewards is good vibes only.
Oh yeah.
Except for there's also other rewards, but like little funny texts like that, examines, things like that, you know, that they got sorted. I think there could have been more things in the city that could have been examines.
Yes.
There were a few things that I felt really were items that stood out and I couldn't examine them. But also massive. So.
But at this point, we're just pulling hairs.
Yeah, the things that they put in feel finished. It feels like there is space to add more things, but the things that they did include feel like they have been well play tested. Like, the combat style feels like it is a functional combat style. Like, I make a full pair of bars out of it.
Yeah.
Like, the incantations work. There's definitely need for more of them. There's only, what, eight? Yeah, there's eight, counting the teleport.
Yeah.
And the two bone shields. Like, there's functionally six different ones when you get rid of the extras. So there's room for that. There's room for more summons. There's room for all this. But the things that they included, they're not buggy for the most part. They function as generally as they should. The lore is good.
And that's
the quests are like...
that's a good thing at the end of the day.
I think the poorest polish is the UX, which is unfortunate. But
fair.
At the same time, I realize it's a combat skill. Maybe like the UX just didn't get, like, wasn't the top of the list. I hope we get improvements over time.
Well, their entire business over the last year and a bit has been quality of life and whatnot.
Yeah.
Tanis, anything on the polish side you want to highlight accessibility wise or things that we missed?
No, I mean, the biggest accessibility issue is just those random events, especially if you're getting two-thirds of your XP.
That was polished that was missed.
Yeah,
because I didn't get any of that now, and I expected it to be
like
a little less,
spirit.
Right? Well,
play with your ambient noise gun. You should at least be able to see the sparkles. Those are bright white, very high particle density, like on the glyph. That should be visible for you.
One of the tips somebody gave as well earlier in clan chat is you can try and go to one of the legacy combat worlds. Almost no people on it, typically. All the people on those worlds will probably be at the ritual site, but it's probably quieter than other worlds. Yeah. So that's an option
you
could try.
On release day, there were only like 30 or 40 people on the ritual site versus hundreds. I'm willing to bet there are in the dozens or less on the ritual sites in Legacy Worlds now. You can't do some things. I don't believe you can use the City of Teleport in Legacy World. I don't believe
you
can
use incantations.
Yeah, you can't use incantations. Yeah. You can't summon anything. You can't.
You just got
the
basic
bar at
attack.
The top is technically a boss health bar. Fun fact: it just counts down every second. Yeah. So on Legacy Worlds, it gets divided by 10. So you get 10 seconds at 2, and then 10 seconds at 1, and then 10 seconds at 0, and then your ritual is done. There's some jank. There's some jank with Legacy that isn't awesome.
That was actually, I wanted to ask, does necromancy work at all in legacy combat mode? But
don't do it.
No. You can auto attack only. The auto attacks do slightly more than auto attacks from other styles, kind of. Okay. You can do it. You can't summon anything, though. No. It's not.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I think my final note on polish, which I think we need to add, is like the task set was completely like I was completely blindsided.
Yes, I want to highlight that now that we're here. Thank you for reminding me.
I did not expect that. I would have liked that dev time to be more in even more UX polish because I think UX can never be polished enough. At the same time, I appreciate the inclusion.
I absolutely love the new task UI. That they put out.
I do not like the location of the home teleport on the world map, though. That feels
That's minor. New task UI, if you go into achievements, click the green quest-looking icon, you can go through all of your task sets, and it will give you a nice bar breakdown of what they reward and a quick and easy way to get into them. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I absolutely love this user interface.
That's not new.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it
they
is.
Added a new, they added a new tab for Achievement Iris. It's in the news post.
Yeah.
It's in the news post.
It is in the news post.
We've had a tab for every... Did they break it up from Exploration? Were they part of Exploration before? Because you've had these same bars and tasks that you could do. That whole system was present in the Exploration tab.
It was, but they broke it out. It's now no longer under Exploration.
I thought they were already separate.
No.
Okay,
no.
That's fine.
It's a brand new UI.
I like it. I like the tasks. The tasks were not overly complicated or time consuming. I had to look up, I think, one or two of them that I should have just found by exploring the city myself. And the rewards, the teleports on the book, infinite teleports to the smithy. That's the closest thing to, if you're runecrafting, it's a must have the second tier of the book. 10 teleports a day to the ritual site, which is to me more than enough. In like the first 10 levels, it probably wouldn't have been, but I used runes for those, so it was fine. Can teleport to the drain of the lodestone and take the portal.
But let's go on unless there's nothing else on that. Going once, going twice. Gondola.
No, don't do it.
Gondola.
Final thoughts before we move on to patch notes here, weekend. Tanis.
For me it's still really, really early, right? And it feels early. Yes. I'm still kind of getting my feet under me. I like what I see so far. Everything has been pretty easy. I haven't felt like I've needed to be quite as in-depth as you know, some of the things we've talked about today, and I'm cruising right along. I look for more of that. At the, you know, put the post 99 for me, you know, everything is always a race to 99, and then I can kind of settle in and start to learn how to use it once I get it. So but overall I really like what I see. I think it's a cool addition, and it was exactly what I thought that they did, exactly what they said they were going to do. You know, no more, no less, but it was exactly what they said.
All right.
So,
As for me, I said going into this, my biggest hurdle would be getting over the fact that we're still operating on the RuneScape combat system, ticks, the whole nine yards in relation to that. I like what I have seen so far with the rituals. I like what I've seen so far with the early combat. For me to pass full judgment on it, I need to get a set of tier 80 or tier 90 gear, which I'll probably end up happening this weekend, and go kill some bosses with it just to get a full feel of it before I can say where I truly stand on it. But overall, I like the direction we're going in. The one thing that I'm still out on is that I hope that this will be able to go, say, grab somebody from who last played in 2015 or who last played before EOC and say, hey, come back to RuneScape, try Necromancy. It's the combat system we should have had in 2012. That's my hope. Sirion.
Yeah, it's a funny one for me. I can already tell it's not going to remain my favorite skill. I mean, archaeology, I mean, it's a hard one to beat. It's up there. It's also a combat skill. Sure. It was never going to beat the gathering skill. honestly, my fear ahead of time was that they wouldn't have the courage to make, large changes, and I think that is what I hoped for, maybe more than I should have. And especially early on, it doesn't. I guess present tense makes sense. It doesn't feel different enough. I mean, the discussion here has really showed that they are taking a different stance, and maybe the changes, especially to adrenaline, are more significant than I gave them credit for. And the longer term will have to show whether that's true or not. But that is potentially interesting. That being said, you know, the game, the skill doesn't sell me. Like, I think it has some starter problems, basically, where I've had to turn off the game once or twice because I just got frustrated by things being in my way where they shouldn't be, right? Like, challenge is good, but game dev is this balance between challenging the player in an interesting way and challenging the player in a frustrating way, right? Like, getting the right XP rates, for example, is a big question. Like, you can make XP rates incredibly slow and be like, yeah, you get more play hours out of that, but that's not rewarding or fun. The early part of Necromancy had a little bit too much of barriers in my way that I didn't like. Mostly quality of life. Growing beyond that, like I said, I would have hoped for a little bit more courage, but it seems like they struck a balance that is hitting most people, getting on that courageous side, but also playing it safe
where they have to.
It has familiarity to the people who are familiar with the system while also being new. They seem to have struck a balance. So, you know, we need to be honest, and that is pretty impressive. There would have been a chance that if they had gone too weird, we would have had another EC situation. And we would have had a slightly less old school RuneScape server in a few years. But luckily, that is not necessary, I think. Mildly positive, I would say.
Good.
On this release.
Good. Thanksy.
I really like it overall. I think we've made good points. The early levels have some things that need to be... Like, it feels a little jumbled and frantic. There's a lot going on at the early levels. That I will tell you, that does sort itself out as you get higher up, but to start off with, it felt like there was a lot to do, which is a double-edged sword in a lot of ways. But I like the combat system that it brings in. I like rituals as an idea. They feel very RuneScape to me in terms of I can just set them up, and for 2 hours I can have a lovely conversation about the game. I could watch a podcast.
I mean, you can actually watch a podcast.
I mean, I could watch a show, I could watch YouTube, I could listen to music if I wanted to pay a little more attention, and the rituals will just happen. I don't have to pay attention to them, right? The XP from them is not going to make or break me. The grind to get souls, the grind to get, you know, 8,500 souls for like the second to last tier before the Rassiel is like, you know, fully Iron Man, it's 5-6 hours, right? That feels very reasonable to me in terms of RuneScape grinds to like get me to what I need to be functional at level 99. Very fine. Getting to 30,000, we'll see how the, you know, tier 3 rituals go. I'm not going to pass judgment on that yet. Cautious optimism. Same thing with all of it. I think the skill is good. I think it's generally balanced well. They made a combat skill. They added in a bunch of other stuff to it. They gave us a whole new area, a whole new set of like activity, basically. Like rituals will always have a use in terms of creating inks and oh my goodness,
candles, gear,
ectoplasm.
They're creating from runes, right? So in order to create the inks, you need to do the rituals. In order to do the rituals to create the essence, in order to create the essence to create the runes. Like, there will always be, there's not an end point to them when you hit your max souls, when you hit all of your gear. Even at 120, there could still be a reason, especially for Iron Man, right? But for general, but like to make the runes for this skill. Like, they will have some value. There will be some, you could skill. You could absolutely do this just as a skill. It would be a little boring. It would just be rituals, but you could absolutely do it. There are options there that are more than just a combat skill that I love that they included. I think the skill generally well done. There's some polished things. There is room to add more. I am not mad about any of that. I think they did a good job with it. I like the direction they're going. So positive on the whole on the release.
Righto. Well, then let's just run through some patch notes quickly here. We don't have too many of them.
Some of these are big.
Oh, right. This is an RSBNB update episode. We have patch notes.
We got to talk about the update. What happened this week?
Yeah, tank gear life points. Necromancy tank gear benefits from updated life point values. Though we did talk about this briefly. They're trialing it.
I mentioned it.
That typically life point boost didn't start until 70 plus, but now it's all throughout. And if it's received favorably by the players, they'll do it across all styles. I feel like we all say yes. That's a good idea.
As a noob in combat, mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, give me all the hit points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel a lot of the combat comes down to just, do you eat enough, fast enough anyway? So I think that little bit of extra, yes, for me. Hi, sorry. Do I spam boost fast
go
enough?
Burr. Ghost go burr. Ghost good. Ghost big heal.
Yeah, so that's definitely one I think they should do. They also removed what David was on. You guys didn't want to include this, but I overrided you guys. Apparently, I hate democracy for this. They removed the adrenaline gained from Tsunami, Incendiary Shot, and Meteor Strike when you switch combat styles, and that is now specifically related to that combat style's Critical Strike. So after using Tsunami, Necromancy Critical Strikes will not generate extra adrenaline and so on and so forth. And this is, of course, what was generating and pushing a lot of the speed runs at the ultra high end. And that's something that David talked about when he was last on.
That is jank that should not exist. I am fine with it not being gone. Sorry, high end peoples. Sucks to suck.
Some minor tweaks to how and where basic attack adrenaline is granted to non-necromancy combat styles, and that basic attack adrenaline is no longer given to magic AoE abilities that hit multiple targets, and magic now calculates its adrenaline from basic attacks based on weapon speed like melee and ranged.
If you are autocasting Blood Barrage, you no longer get 2% adrenaline for every target you hit with your autocast of Blood Barrage.
Yeah.
Again, things that is jank and that should not work the way that it did anyways, so fine. Moving on.
I wonder if they specifically saved these changes for the Necromancy launch, because any other week, these patch notes would have caused outrage.
And they massively increased combat XP across the board. They did. If you look at the old and new values, we talked about this last week.
The changes they've
made this week, they decreased combat XP for all styles. They added a lot of life points to low level things. The cows that Tannis is killing earlier in the episode, those only had 150 HP last week. This week they've got about 1200, which makes them much better training targets for players who are coming from old school and want to kill cows.
Yeah.
Much better.
And with that also comes a change to stat boosting. Did you guys know that previously a level 90 player boosting to 99 combat stats would outperform a player with base level 99s?
I did not know this.
Only with overloads. Only there was overloads. Jank in the coding for overloads that they increased your damage by a percentage in addition to the level gain. There was some funky back-end stuff that boosted levels, gained some additional percentage damage in addition to gaining the actual leveling benefit.
No,
this was hardly even known about. This has been in the game forever, but it's like something that people didn't notice necessarily.
Yeah, I think Mod Pie first explained it on one of his live streams before he left, but everything will just boost in an equal manner now. They also redid all the tooltips across the game, which I think we all noticed with Necromancy. I'm not going to go through all the changes here, but oh my god, they're wonderful.
I really appreciate it. Like, I think they have the icons for like the targets before, and well, generally you can try and sort of guess what they are. Having that there in text is an accessibility feature as well, right?
Like this was actually a player-driven feedback. I don't know if they mentioned that anywhere in there.
No, they
this was
no.
the RS guy. The RS guy drove a lot of these and worked with Mod Sponge to do this. Him and a couple of the other content creators were part of the overhaul.
Yeah, I think these are good.
Yeah.
All right. We mentioned the necromancy potions added earlier to the game. I was having fun farming Marintil and Katava. That was good money on launch day, by the way. And that's probably That's probably why I didn't get necromancy started right off the bat, because I was farming my Katava.
Farming. Have you planted your new mushroom patch, Shane?
No, I haven't actually. Not yet.
Shame on you, bad farmer. Don't have all your patches filled.
I still haven't done the one on Anachronia either.
You fix your. Tut tut. Shame.
And the last one, runecrafting pouches and ethereal bodies are now given a configure option that'll let you set your preferred option when filling them. Impure essence is only added as an option after completing rune mythos.
This is so life-changing to me. I did not realize this. I was having to withdraw all of my essence as noted form, and then I could withdraw impure essence into the pouches by autofilling them. Oh, the fact that there's a right-click. I should have just right-clicked it. It's like the repair all on the pedestal. You don't know it's there until you right-click it. Right-click everything, kiddos. Right-click your pouches. You could set impure essence to be your thing. This is big. If you're doing room crafting, it's a lot of money right now. Everybody with their threads of fate and their death marks. What runes do these use? Oh wait, let's look. Oh, what's that? Flesh and bone? Flesh and bone runes with money? Makes you think.
Alrighty, folks, that pretty much does it for this. And with that, we're going to move on to our achievements of the week. Sirion, start us off with the big one.
Yeah, we got Arcane with 99 Necromancy on August 9. Yeah, I did not expect to see Necromancy in this list like right on the first week, but there it is. We got Niard with 99 Slayer on August 9, and there's another 99 Necromancy. I need to get used to saying Necromancy. by Pony Picker, also on August 9. Moving on to August 8. This is not going very well. August 8, we have 120 Farming by SilverWiz9. We got 200 million Smithing XP by no other than Choto3000 on August 7.
The whole way.
Another achievement on August 7 was Mosen Nefa with 99 Runecrafting. Then we're moving on to August 6. We have Arcane getting 200 magic XP, Hyacliff getting 200 mil divination XP, Jamandi 52 getting 120 magic, Lore Monster getting 99 ranged, and Niard getting 99 strength.
Right on.
Nice. And also on the 6th, we have Quest Our Shit with 200 mil constitution. We have Santa Ends with 120 summoning. We have Silver Wiz 29 with 120 Herblore. We have Snowlight with 120 summoning. Terry Dax with 99 attack, thieving, ranged, and defense. Nice job, everyone.
Then, continuing on from there, we have Arcane with 200 million magic XP on the 5th, Hephaestio 5 with 99 constitution, Jade Gizmo with 120 prayer, Magic King got 120 invention and 120 herblore, Popo got 120 prayer and 120 fletching, also on the 5th, Questpaws got 99 constitution, and Rippeth06 got 120 herblore.
Then on August 4th, we have Arcane with 200 million strength XP, Forex with 99 divination, Terran Alden with 99 construction, Tim 2 with 120 constitution. On August 3rd, we had Rob with 200 million smithing XP, Simbakura with 120 dungeoneering and herblore, Sparty Pants with 120 strength, and Terry Dax with 99 dungeoneering. Good job, guys. Well done, everybody. It's a good week considering we're finishing out DXP and heading into a new skill.
Yeah, wonderful jobs, everyone. Wonderful jobs. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Update. You know, I know normally we do a pick of the week at this time, and I know, Thaxi, you jokingly said that the pick of the week this week should probably be RuneScape because this game company that started out by three brothers in a kitchen just put out what's effectively an expansion.
Little Indie Game Studio.
Yeah.
Little Indie Game Studio. Big expansion to their game.
Yeah, go play it. RuneScape.com.
Go play it.
So.
Pretty neat.
Big, huge thank you to everybody who helped make this episode possible. It was a wonderful adventure along the way. There were certainly times leading up to Necromancy and leading up to this podcast that I didn't know if we'd be here for Necromancy reasons or technical reasons for that matter. But if you guys are hearing this on Friday, well done. We did it. We got it done. So big, huge thank you to everybody out there. And of course, if you want the podcast automatically delivered to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe. We're on all the podcast listeners out there. Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Pocket Casts, Amazon, and more. Just visit update.show/subscribe. And of course, we're also on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB, where I can say this now in full. You can find the full video version this week, youtube.com/RSBNB. And we'll also have the nibbles there as well, definitely for this episode. If you like what you see, give us a like and subscribe. Greatly helps the channel out. But I think with that being said, that's it for this episode of RSBNB Update. Big, huge thank you to our wonderful panel for being here. Sirion, thank you.
Anytime.
And Thaxi, of course.
Happily.
And with that, Tanis, you and I will be back for another episode of RSBNB Update next week. So until then, see you then, everyone. Take care.
Bye. See you.